following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, didn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. The gang's all here, although Paul, I don't know where he is right now, but Andy's
isn't.
Here.
Yeah.
Eric's here.
Paul's, the gang's all here, except Paul.
For Paul. Paul's in the building. He'll be
we sure about that?
Way
might
down
have gone
here
to Good Food to tweet or something.
That's true. Matt is capably handling the production.
Lunch has been coming earlier, too, thanks to him.
He does a really
like
good job.
I don't know why. I like it when lunch gets here early. Yeah. Makes for a better show.
Good job, Matt.
More energy.
Leave it to the fat kid to get lunch here early.
It's all right.
You know, priorities.
Whatever it motivates you, as long as the job gets done, that's okay with me.
Can we replace
freezing
Kevin
in here again, though?
Possibly.
Yeah.
It's nice outside, though.
Big day yesterday, and I'm assuming that even though this is PFW in progress, we'll be here in 2 o'clock, and this is probably the only place you can get good Patriots talk all year long. We'll be talking about some other NFL matters today. You think?
I'm not sure people want us to.
No?
Certainly not one of them.
Who?
Tebow.
Well.
Got a lot of tweets and emails saying, stop talking Tebow, please.
Well,
it's unavoidable. We're going to face him twice a year.
I mean, yeah, he is an AFC East rival now. So we'll be talking Tebow. We'll be talking the penalty that was laid down on the New Orleans Saints. I think it's right. I think Goodell hit the nail on the head. I have no problem with it. Others
Fred.
Think it's a little harsh, but we'll talk about that.
Did you see the latest tweet, rumor, speculation about Reggie Bush?
Reggie Bush.
Dolphins reportedly want to trade him.
I'll take him.
And Adam Schefter said, look for the, in this order, Patriots, Packers, and Seahawks to make a move.
The Patriots are involved or have interest in every guy
that comes
up.
No. The Patriots are reported
right,
to have
interest.
Potentially
interest. That's what I mean. Every guy that comes up, there's a report that the Patriots are interested.
Because they're a perennial Super Bowl contender, and that's what happened. I mean, back
and
in the day.
And they never get anybody, right. So they always have openings for people.
Yeah.
They have a team full of Jags. Just kidding. But
would you
funny.
Take Reggie Bush?
Yeah.
Sure.
Eric, you would take everyone.
No, that's it. That's
I read
not true.
You on Twitter.
Eric would
that's
kill
not true.
For Bush.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
And we lost out on some Bush.
Joe Namath is.
The other Bush went to Chicago.
Yeah, Michael.
Joe Namath is reinstating. Eric's like, I'll take him.
That's not true.
By the way, he's upset that they took Tebow.
He had some.
Is there anything
tweets.
The Jets don't do
Namath?
These days that Namath isn't upset about?
Well, he clearly
about?
Hates the management because he's saying they're right. A circus. And I'm talking about the people making decisions.
Right.
The back of the post. Today was no ring circus.
No ring circus.
Yeah.
And
that
they didn't make that up. We used that last year, didn't we? I know I used that last year.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
I think you did use it for
absolutely.
Something. It wasn't a cover. It
no,
wasn't a cover.
No ring
oh,
circus.
Oh, maybe your edit letter?
I think I think that might have been.
That's possible. I don't think it was a cover.
Yeah.
But it was good. They stole it from you. People steal from us all
right.
the time. The Herald. They all do it.
So
Tom Brady
I take
reported.
Bush, damn it, yeah. yeah.
You would take Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Tom Brady reportedly restructured
his deal. Saving $7 million under the cap. People are assuming it's for free agent signings. May not be. Could be for signing existing guys to deals.
Everyone sucks
Bailed
but by
me.
His girlfriend a Mother's Day present.
No, seriously.
Obviously, it's for signings. At some point, you're going to use the cap money.
No, but people are assuming it's for guys that aren't on the roster already.
Oh,
it could be for guys that are here already.
Could be for Welker, Gronkowski, Hernandez.
Right.
Some other Jag they want to extend. They do that sometimes.
Yep. So that was announced today. And now officially a lot of these free agent signings the Patriots have been doing over the last few days, are they're actually issued the press releases for a lot of them yesterday.
Yes, or Agnets.
So
I almost emailed you that.
But the latest guy, Will Allen, was signed yesterday in the midst of all the Tebow and Saints stuff.
Another old coot.
So at one time he gave the Patriots a hard time.
He did?
Yeah, when he was with the Dolphins. He was pretty good. No?
Okay.
You don't think he was?
Oh, I think he's terrible.
I mean, he's not where he was, but, you know, he was okay. Is there anyone that you like, Paul, these days?
I like the Lloyd signing.
You like the Lloyd signing.
I like Jonathan Fanene.
Yeah.
Is more than I'm reading about Gregory. I like that signing. I think that obviously fills a huge need.
I think Fells is perfect.
Yeah, I don't really.
Best third tight end in football.
that one didn't really I think register on my.
Fills a need. Okay. Not just depth. Fills a need.
I hope he doesn't fill a need. Because if he fills a need, I don't feel as good about the offense.
Well, I think.
Well, if that's not depth, then I'm really concerned about that signing. He's a third tight end.
He's a third tight end, but inline blocker, and now frees up Solder to be a
unless you listen to Pro Football Focus, who says he sucks as a block. I'm watching this clip from NFL Films. If Goodell were the commissioner, the NFL would have gone out of business 30 years ago.
Is this okay for you to watch TV? Well, you know, usually when I'm doing that, you yell at me.
I described it, though. I didn't just go, oh, yes, good. I said what I was watching, NFL Films.
All right.
Now everybody knows exactly what you mean.
Web Radio.
Old coots ripping the
helmets
off.
So, yeah, for the most part,
coot.
Freddie, to answer your question, I like a lot of the signings.
Web Radio.
Let's get to Bush.
Well, hold on.
Forget Tebow. Apparently, Adam Schefter, Dolphins may want to trade Reggie Bush. And
the Patriots are one of the suitors.
Right. As always.
Right.
Packers, Patriots. Who else, Eric? Packers, Patriots?
Seahawks.
Seahawks? I'd take him in a heartbeat.
Where would you go if you were Reggie Bush and you could choose between those three?
Packers.
Okay.
I don't know. I just threw it out there.
I would say the Packers, too, only
great
because
offense. Oh my God.
They both have the great offense, and they both are not necessarily relying on the running game, so that's an up. But I think that the Packers might have more of an – they don't have a committee.
Right.
So I think you might have an opportunity for Reggie Bush to be a bigger part of that offense.
Agreed.
Whereas here, he's coming to join Vereen and Ridley and Woodhead, and you know how they're going to do things here.
But I
guys,
think that he's –
But both places
time out.
Great offense.
Eric's got a 20.
Back it up.
Beep.
That tweet
beep.
Was issued by a fake Adam Schefter account.
Oh.
That's been happening a lot.
And was retweeted
lately.
By our friend Russell Baxter. And now there was somebody informed him of that, and so they put out it's been fixed. So that's apparently
I was wondering why
not
the
case.
Would trade him.
All right. Okay.
Well, what is going on?
It was the same. It was
the
same photo,
though.
What's
going on with
the fake
tweet? What's going on with
the
fake
tweet? That Adam Schefter uses.
What's going on with it?
Yeah. There was like 5 fake tweets in the last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This one.
The Jets put out a release about. Someone sent out an erroneous tweet on their account.
Unauthorized. That doesn't mean it wasn't
but
on their
But it's fake.
Account.
It's not supposed to have gone out. Whatever
right.
the whatever the
well, that, but it wasn't
what's
a fake,
going on.
It wasn't
and there
a
was
fake
another
tweet.
Fake one. Michael Lombardi said, oh, sorry, that was a fake Tim Tebow account yesterday.
Heath Evans had a couple. Somebody hacked his account and put out some pretty awful. Right.
That's another one that came out this week. But Tim Tebow evidently said something about he's going to Jacksonville yesterday afternoon. Michael Lombardi retweeted it, and then he apologized for saying, you know, there was a fake Tim Tebow account. I'm like, what's going on?
Well, that's Michael Lombardi.
People
boss.
Are.
I mean, you need to know what you're.
Need,
this is
need lives.
The same thing.
People
have
need lives.
Fake Adam Schefters, and suckers have been falling for it for a while now.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's just another reason to.
Well, but doesn't Adam Schefter have
medium.
The little blue check mark?
I don't know.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look really quickly and you see the same icon and it looks like, I mean, and it was written in language that sounds like something Schefter might
right.
say.
But if it doesn't have the blue check mark, it's not Adam Schefter.
Right, but, I mean, sometimes people just see news
and, you don't
and
even
they're,
need
they're,
to
so,
see
quick
that.
To, they're so quick
you
to
can
put
click
the news
on
out
it, and
they
the
just
guy has four
it.
Followers right. and Adam Schefter has 4 million.
Well, yeah. Not everyone who's like a big-time person like that is verified. I know a lot of people.
No, I know. That's why I do the follower thing. If somebody has like 5 followers, it means it's fake.
Right.
I mean,
but
you usually have an idea of how many followers
but
Adam Schefter
you're probably right, Andy. But that's what it's come to. I mean, I would never think, oh, I have to make sure I authenticate that first. Oh, how many followers?
Right. You just see the
but
news.
I guess you're right.
But,
you probably do have to do that.
Especially
now.
If it's a strange tweet or like, wow.
The problem isn't Twitter. The problem is the rush to be first.
No,
the problem
is the losers who
the
create
problem
the fake
Twitter because
fake
everybody
Twitter
is there. It's everyday people
right.
with real people. that are trying to, you know, yeah. like write about these stuff.
Yeah. But if Lombardi hadn't been in such a rush, he would have stopped and said, oh, okay.
Right.
Should I look at this?
Yeah.
You know? I think Twitter is better than Facebook, honestly. I love Twitter.
Facebook? Who likes Facebook?
Nobody. I don't. But we have we have over 3.3.
Doesn't it have 5 billion
right.
users?
We have
or
over
something?
3.3 million on the Patriots, so somebody likes them. But I
not as a like a news gathering source. That's no. I mean it's fine. Twitter is fine for everyday life. Well, I'm talking about people are trying to get the news.
I know, but people not Schefter's the word, but people do use Facebook to announce things. You know, you can go to my Facebook page and see. You know, but Twitter to me is I love Twitter. I think it's great.
Yeah, I have no problem with Twitter for everyday life. Yeah. I'm just talking about like. What Andy is saying, the Adam Schefter and Michael Lombardi and that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't have to necessarily worry.
I actually don't like it. I like Facebook more for everyday life. I'd prefer Twitter to just be a news feed.
I hate them both. But
no, I'm saying
for news.
Well, they're not going anywhere, though.
But for news, I would really not rely on either one of them for my news. Let's put it that way.
Oh, if you follow worthy
I follow
people,
all the people that you tell
great,
me to follow.
It's a great news feed.
It still happens all the time that CNN breaking news has to send retractions. They send stuff and then oh sorry that was wrong or something because it's the immediacy of it.
Right.
Stuff that they've put out or stuff that they've retweeted.
Not one or the other, but not sure. But I've definitely seen them send out retractions and clarifications. And
I'm with Andy on this. I. You just have to, I guess, check everything.
Yeah.
All right. So Tim Tebow is going to the New York Jets. What do you guys think about it? Because in a minute, I want to play some of the New York reaction to it. But what do you guys think? Is this a good move for the Jets?
I actually think it is. If I heard their play-by-play guy on EEI yesterday. I guess he's a former WEEI intern who's now their play-by-play guy. And he's all in. That he's going to be used 6 to 8 snaps a game as a true Wildcat-type quarterback. And this is, you know, just Brad Smith. Tony Sparano is – the Jets always use the Wildcats. Tony Sparano is now there. Dolphins use the Wildcat. This is – there's no competition. He's not even the backup in this guy's information. He's the third quarterback, emergency guy, and strictly in a role. If that's true, he's now in the role he should be in the National Football League.
And here's the problem, though. Sanchez is marginally a starting quarterback in this league. I think most of us in this room would agree. Now, what's going to happen in that market when he starts having the type of games that he's known to have, and the clamor is for it's not for the backup quarterback,
but,
it's right. for Tim
but,
Tebow.
But here's what I say to that. I don't think that the New York fans are yahoos where they think that Tebow could be the starter either. I think if Sanchez continues to flounder, they'll want another quarterback. I don't think I don't think they'll be clamoring for Tebow like they did.
But you can only clamor for the guys on your team.
Yeah, I don't think the Jets fans think that Tebow would be the answer either in that case.
Well, you got your Tannenbaum's comments earlier today.
What do you have to say?
Said they're probably going to carry 4 quarterbacks since they already have Drew Stanton and Greg McElroy. So he said, we're gonna reach out to Drew and try to carry 4 quarterbacks throughout the season.
I thought Kevin O'Connell was there, too.
Drew, yeah, Stanton wants out. He wants to be traded, right?
Well, he just signed.
I know. And now he's saying that he was signed under the understanding he was the number 2, which I think they're saying he still would be.
According to what Andy just said, he is.
He said right now he'd prefer to be traded.
Well, if nothing else, they have the nicest bunch of third and fourth string quarterbacks you can ever assemble with Tim Tebow and Greg McElroy. I mean, I think it's a foolish move. I understand Andy's point, and I think that it could work if that perfect scenario would unfold. You could use him in a couple of packages for 3, 4, 5 plays a game. I don't think it's going to work because I think that Eric is right. I think that the clamor is not going to be for Drew Stanton. The clamor is going to be for Tim Tebow. And if I thought that Mark Sanchez was mentally tough enough to handle this, I'd have no problem with it.
Yeah,
but
I think
he'll wet down his leg the first time he misses Dustin Keller on a crossing route, and the leather lungs are going to be screaming at him like they always do.
But
will they be screaming
yes,
for Tebow?
They will be screaming for Tebow.
Yes, they
not
will.
For Drew Stanton, Fred. They'll be screaming for Tebow.
I think they'll be screaming for another quarterback.
You can't scream another.
You can only
chant another.
Yeah. We want another.
Right. But who were they screaming for
Tebow.
Last year?
They'll scream for Tebow.
Who were they screaming for last year?
They weren't screaming for anybody. They didn't have anybody.
They didn't have anybody last year. now they
at
do.
At least somebody.
I think the New York fans are smart enough to realize they still don't have anybody.
I don't think any fan on earth is smart enough.
Fans
the
are
emotion.
Stupid.
But
don't, it's not even stupid. Don't
you gave them
limit
something
that to, here.
To scream. Whether they believe it or not, they're going to do it. I would do it. I hate Tim Tebow more than anyone. But if I'm at a Jets game and Sanchez is sucking, I have to yell for somebody. I'm going to yell for Tebow, even though I don't even believe it. I'm just yelling for a change, and Tebow's my only option.
I don't think it's going to be like that pressure that, you know, Fox and Elway felt in Denver.
It's a different pressure.
See, Sanchez is under a lot of pressure, whether you bring Tebow in or not.
Right, exactly.
But this is exacerbating it, because I think you're being naive if you think they're not going to be calling for Tebow.
Like, why didn't Bill Belichick bring...
I just think the New York fans are a lot more jaded
than
Denver fans.
Why didn't Bill Belichick bring in the veteran quarterbacks he was going to bring in when Tom Brady went down? The veteran Jags. I can't even remember their names.
Tim Rattay was
Sims,
one of them. Chris Sims and Tim Rattay.
Effing Jags.
He changed
Absolute
his mind.
Effing Jags.
He changed his mind after Brady got hurt.
Because
Matt Castle didn't need to look over his shoulder.
Those guys sucked.
Hmm.
Right.
They sucked.
Right.
They were as bad as Tim Tebow as NFL quarterbacks.
Right.
And yet Bill Belichick
Tony Maslike right
worried
there.
About the fact that Castle would be looking over his shoulder. It doesn't matter the quality of the player. If you give them a name to chant, they're going to chant it.
And in the case of this quarterback, Sanchez, who, as Paul said, already has the most fragile of psyches in the league, normally you would say, oh, if you bring in another good player at a player's position, that competition will get the best out of them. You know, the fact that he knows that there's somebody there fighting for his job. I think the opposite could be true for Sanchez.
Stop sucking.
He might play worse because he knows that Sanchez is, I mean, Tebow's on his heels.
Well, I think a lot of people in New York agree. Matt, do you have that Mike Francesa thing from KFAN?
Did you hear him?
Why don't we play? Mike Francesa is obviously a big New York sports talk
but
guy.
But he hates the Jets.
Let's talk. Let's
play
that.
That needs to be said.
Now, the Jets. The Jets. When I heard this yesterday, I have to admit, I didn't take it seriously. I didn't see the fit between the Jets and Tim Tebow. And then the more you thought about it, the only thing that made sense to me is the same thing it is for the Jets all the time. Folks, this is not a football decision. They'll tell you it's for the Wildcat, and they'll tell you this is a absolute get some buzz, get the franchise back on the back page, sell some tickets, sell some jerseys, dollars, dollars, dollars. This is dollars over cents. So if you're going to tell me that Tony Sperano and company there are going to now turn this into, you know, a total ground attack with Tebow, and this is going to be the idea that they are just going to line him up in the Wildcat and away we go. Tebow in a Wildcat basically says, hey, I'm running. It is not effective like it is when Tebow's running a regular offense. That will wear off in a week. You know why they brought him in? They brought him in for two reasons. They brought him in because they got empty seats. They brought him in because the Giants won the Super Bowl. The Jets can't stand being ignored. And this is Woody Johnson. This is not football. This starts with the owner and his stooges underneath him. Stooges! Because they are a laughing stock now. The Jets can't help themselves.
All right, so that's Mike Francesa. And like Paul said, he does hate the Jets.
He loves the Giants and hates the Jets.
He's a dyed-in-the-wool Bill Parcells Giants fan.
And the whole rant was like almost 20 minutes long.
Yeah. And he goes on from there. And
they don't sell tickets?
No, they're sold out.
That's the part that I didn't
say
there. That's
the
part
I
didn't agree
many
with.
Seats.
I agree with the Giants part, and actually Fred brought this up yesterday afternoon. We were talking with No Sox, and Fred, you said the same thing. You think Woody Johnson might have stepped in here and said, we got to do something to get back on the back page. The Giants passed us by again.
Yeah, they got on the back page.
Yeah.
No ring circus.
No ring circus.
So I don't get the short-sighted nature of all these owners. I said this to you yesterday. The best way to get buzz and sell tickets and make money
is
to win.
Right.
So unless you have zero confidence in your football guys, stay out of it and say, I hired you to win. If you get to the Super Bowl, I will have no problem getting on the back page. I'll have no problem selling jerseys. Otherwise, fire the guys you have no confidence in to get you to win. Because winning solves everything.
Well, it'll be interesting if Hard Knocks can convince the Jets to do them again and to see, you know, what the guys with their balls hanging out of their pants say, you know, oh, what they're going to do with Tim Tebow. And, you know, oh, we're going to make him into this. You know how they talk there, all that braggadocio.
I want the cameras to be there the first time Tebow and Antonio Cromartie meet.
Right, Right.
I want to see how that goes.
Well, maybe, you know.
You know what would happen? Tebow would go to him, what's up, Crow? I've been wanting to play with you for a long time.
Maybe Tebow will.
Like he did to Lance Briggs.
Maybe Tebow will lay hands on him and convert him into a believing Christian. You know, you never know.
Andy had a good line.
That's
about
being a jackass.
Andy had a good line about that yesterday. He would convince Tebow maybe his stance on abortion isn't all that.
But I was even surprised how he came out so I loved Hard Knocks. Ever since I watched it, I wanted to play for Rex Ryan. He's a coach I want to play for.
Right.
I was even surprised at that over-the-top excitement to play for Rex Ryan.
Tebow is nothing if
but
not enthusiastic
and
positive.
And a fraud.
He will find.
And a fictitious fraud.
He will find the positive. See,
no, he actually exists.
But he's making up fiction. I don't think he saw Hard Knocks and goes, I got to play for that guy.
Well,
I just,
but that's
that
your
guy
opinion.
Who calls
How do you
me
know?
Jackass, I got to play for him. Let's go get a goddamn snack. I got to play for that guy. Because he's a fraud.
He's not.
He writes fiction as he thinks people want to ingest it, and they take it full.
I mean, he's been playing football all his life. Tebow
Can you
has.
Imagine if you or I said, take it full?
Yeah.
He's been playing football all his life.
Barney
he's
Rubble
seen all kinds
Betty
of
Rubble
characters.
Beagle.
I think in Rex Ryan, he sees someone that's enthusiastic about the game of football, loves to have fun, and that appeals. Look, they did the poll before, you know, the Jets had their collapse last year. They did the poll, and Rex Ryan was like number one of coaches that players want to play for.
Well, let me ask you this, though.
But Tim Tebow is not exactly every other
He's
player.
He's a football player. He loves football.
Let me, he was a Christian.
Let me ask you this. Given his,
you can be both.
If he had,
I know. A lot of them are. They just don't get the credit. James Sanders, thank you.
If he had the choice, if he had the choice, do you think Tebow would have wanted to leave Denver?
No, I think he'd rather stay.
You know why? The Rocky Mountains, he's closer to God.
All right. But, no, honestly. Honestly.
I thought you were going to say Lindsey Vaughn.
That's true.
I think he'd rather, you know, he felt that he built something up there and he wanted to continue with it. I think.
So he's trying to put the best face on going to New York.
Yes.
By saying the things he said
about
Rex Ryan.
Yes, because he's a fraud. He's a politician. He tells people what they want to hear, not what he believes.
I don't know. It's hard for me to say whether or not he really believes it or not. Why not?
So
take him at
so you would
says.
Rather he had gone out and said, this effing sucks, I don't want to play for this
no.
jackass team.
You don't have
this.
To go over the top one way or
the other. What if that's how he really feels?
Well, then he should say it. Well, but he's made a life of not saying what he really thinks and feels.
You know,
does,
this
so.
All comes down to, you know, if they really want to use Tebow in that way, in that option wildcat way, and Tebow's willing to go along with that, it could work out. It could work out. You know, the whole Sanchez thing, though, I mean, that's up in the air. This doesn't make Sanchez any better or worse. Sanchez is still on the fence as far as being a starting quarterback in this league. And I don't think bringing Tebow in to give him a little competition is going to make him any better or worse.
I agree.
I think he's still out on his own.
Well, it depends because there was all that talk of he doesn't work. It's not just the confidence on the field and the – it's he's not putting in the time and the effort and working. Maybe they think if Tebow's there every morning and there's some sort of a competitive friendship, now Sanchez is going to go with him at 6 o'clock every morning and work out. I don't know.
Hey, is it unrealistic to expect or to think that there's a possibility of Tebow actually helping Sanchez with some of his mental side? You know, like,
how so?
Remember, every person who spends time with him is better off for having spent that time with him.
I mean, you take it to
he said tongue in cheek
to the mocking level.
The announcer on the football game I was watching wasn't saying it mockingly.
You take it to a mocking level, but
yeah.
don't you think that some Broncos played better? You know, as a part of being around him, and
they said they did.
Now,
now they say they love Manning. They say what they want to say when the right time comes.
But if he truly is this kind of person in this. Charismatic leader,
a rising tide.
Why wouldn't he be able to help Sanchez, maybe from a mental standpoint and being stronger mentally? He can't help him be a better football player on the field. He can't help him throw the passes more accurately.
Certainly
he can't do that.
And someone would have to help him do it first.
You know, I actually heard this was laughable. I actually heard someone say yesterday. I think it was on the Sports Hub. I forget who it was on in the afternoon because Felger and Mads are on vacation. Thank God, by the way, with this stuff going on, how insufferable would they be?
More than normal.
Someone was talking about, really, I mean, you know, they make fun of Mark Sanchez, they make fun of Tebow, but what's the difference between him and Sanchez? Last year, Tebow completed 46% of his passes. Sanchez was just under 57%. What's the difference? 10%! Are you kidding me? Yeah. What's the difference? That's enormous.
Yeah, it's huge.
What's he ranting about?
Who's he arguing with?
I mean, what is the difference between 46 and 56? 56 is already terrible.
For this league, yeah.
For the NFL. Right. Anybody below 60 is, like, throwing with the wrong hand. And this guy's below 50.
Maybe that's Tebow's problem.
Right.
Son of a bitch, I'm right.
It's unbelievable. This might be old news, but Patriots-related, Chicago signed Michael Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did we already talk about that? That's
sorry,
a guy
briefly.
That a lot of Patriots fans had designs on.
Including this one right
sorry,
here.
I missed that.
4 years, $14 million,
would have given it
guaranteed
to him in a heartbeat. So, which I'm guessing is similar to money. I haven't seen the money on Benny yet. I'm guessing it's going to be in that range. 3 to 4 years, 12 to 14
Yeah, it was reportedly a three-year deal for that.
So
for Benny.
I would have done it. I think he has more upside.
508-384. What am I doing? I'm doing my office number. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And web radio at pages.com is the email address. Later on, we'll talk about the text they sent yesterday. Let's go to the phones, shall we? Chris with the TIN is on the line. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Oh, man, nothing better. Tebow's going to sink the Jets. I know it.
Oh, that'd be great. You know, I feel bad for the guy because I like to root for him, but now I can't.
No, you can't root for him.
Nope.
I don't feel bad for him. I mean, you know, it's that whole God thing. I don't know. I mean, it just rubs people the wrong way. Two goody two shoes. I think he's a fraud, if you want my honest opinion.
Well, that's your that's
preach
your
it, brother. I'm with you.
But I do think that, you know, all this stuff yesterday, this media, you know, this is not Tebow's fault that, you know, there was this media storm yesterday.
Nothing is.
No, it's not. But I agree with the whole thing that it does undermine Sanchez. And, you know, you got a starting quarterback that's really hanging on by a thread now. And, you know, you do this and you bring this kid in. I mean, I just, you know.
Yeah.
I really don't care for Francesa, but I do agree with them that it really was a headline graphic thing, and they just did it to, you know, get the headlines. I mean, they did the same thing in 08 when they got Favre, and the Giants won the Super Bowl. They went out and they got Favre that year.
Yeah,
you know, so but you know, thank God for the NFL because this really is like the worst time of the sports year. It's just every day it's something. And I wanted to get you guys' opinion. What did you guys think about the whole thing about the penalty? You think it was too extreme?
My opinion is Goodell hitting the nail on the head. I think he had to be as harsh as he was because of not the bounty, because of the blatant disregard in lying to him over the course of 3 years. That's why it was so harsh, not because of the bounty. That's my opinion.
I'm okay with it, even if it had nothing to do with the cover-up. I'm okay with as harsh a penalty as possible for that kind of behavior.
I'm okay with it only because I think it had nothing to do with any of that. I think it was all legal, and he was covering the league's ass. And
absolutely.
I think he was saving a league that I love and I'm employed by.
Yeah, it was a PR
move.
I agree.
What do you mean?
I think for lawsuits.
Yeah, he's looking 20 years down the road when some of these guys.
As soon as he can say I knew about it, I put an end to it, and I came down it as vehemently as I could.
I did everything I could to prevent it.
So,
well, okay, good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, no,
absolutely
right. No, I agree. And the last question I have for you guys is, if you were the owner of the team, would you fire Sean Payton?
I wouldn't.
No.
I think good coaches are too hard to find.
Yeah.
I'd have to know exactly how it unfolded.
Mm.
I'd be more inclined to fire Loomis, who I told to put an end to it and didn't put an end to it.
How Loomis,
if that's true.
Yeah. How Loomis is even employed, I have no idea.
Because he didn't tell him to put an end to it.
Yeah,
would
I think
be my guess.
I think he did. I think there's enough people that have said, I mean, I don't know. But I think there's enough people that have written that
I'd want more information, but I'd be inclined to give him a second chance if this was, you know, if what we heard is true.
Yeah, I would keep him. Loomis would be the guy that'd be in my hairs, depending on how that all unfolded internally.
Well, and of course,
that.
Greg Williams is now with the Rams, but he's got an indefinite suspension. And Joe Vitt, who's still with the Saints, has a 6-game suspension.
It looks like your boy Pete Carmichael might get the interim job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got that going for him.
How do you know him again?
Played baseball with him in the Boston Park League.
Oh, that's right.
Who knows if he has any defensive players to actually play.
What else,
those
Christian?
Haven't come out yet.
That's pretty much it. Just keep up the great work like you always do.
All right. That's Christian with a TIAN. Let's go to Red Bank, New Jersey. Andrew's on the line. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, homies.
How you doing?
What's up, Andrew?
Good, guys. What's going on?
Well, you tell me. You're in the thick
you
of
called us.
You're in Tebow land now. What's going on over there?
I love it. I read an article in the Gothamist today, and the title was "Welcome to New York City, Tebow. Everybody already hates you."
Yes. See, this is what I mean.
So he has nowhere to go but up.
It's not like Denver, Andrew. Oh. My contention is that
he uses that as a point in his favor that the New York fans are rational and more cerebral than that.
No,
we already hate you.
I said they're more jaded
because that's relevant.
My contention, Andrew, was that there's not going to be this clamor to see Tebow as the starting quarterback like there was in Denver.
I think you're wrong there.
Let him throw six picks in the first 2 weeks, and tell me what they're doing.
Some guy tweeted on this webpage that says, "Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow, Rex Ryan, the Jets are hoarding everything I hate about football. Can they buy the Cowboys?"
Exactly. See, this is what I'm saying.
I think that Rex Ryan might be the most unhappy out of all of this because I think this was a crossroads year for him, and I think he has been dealt a severe blow in getting that locker room back now. Mm.
But taking a look around, I look at obviously the Jets. There, this is just something that's, you know, like Mike Francesco said, this is just something that's it's not done because of football. So Jets are in turmoil. I think Miami, if you take a look at the Jeff Fisher, Manning, and what everybody's done, they pretty much turned away from Miami, and I think Miami's got some kind of owner issues, turmoil in there. I'd say the Bills are the only one right now that I'm worried about, but
you're right.
Imagine that.
It's Patriots, Bills, Miami, Jets in that order.
Imagine you're worried about the Bills?
Yeah.
When was the last time we said that?
And Ralph Wilson is now the stable, capable owner.
Right.
Oh, he wants a Super Bowl before he dies.
I still think the Jets have the upper hand on the Dolphins.
Yeah. The one thing that I am kind of worried about.
If we're going by talent, the Jets, I mean, come on.
I'd say I'm worried about my team is that if you look at, they kind of filled in the middle tier of free agents. But the one thing I am a little worried about is I'm going to throw this question out there and then hang up. But what's up, Rich from Red Bank? I am a little worried about Brady restructuring his contract because that to me shows that, you know, you're pushing, I don't know, $20 million or something next year. And it kind of senses something that, you know, you're freeing up a lot of money this year, but why? Why is that happening? Like,
Andrew,
why didn't
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
All right,
because you know why? It doesn't matter. The cap is very, very flexible. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
what's
something...
your fear? I don't understand the fear.
His fear is that they're pushing off Bills. You know, like we complain about, we laugh about the other teams when they do this. You
but
know,
right,
like
Patriots
they're pushing,
always done
kicking
it
the can down the road.
Exactly,
Brady has
because the Patriots know as
like
well as anybody that
years.
You can get the guys that you want by moving money around.
But I'm
the cap is negotiable. We can work around this.
That's showing me something that the Wes Welker deal is not going too well. Because if the Wes Welker deal was going through fine, you've got almost $10 million you could free up. But now that you've got to ask Brady to push some of his money out. You're kind of cash constrained right now.
I don't know what this means, and no one really does.
I wouldn't read too much into it. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, we don't know if this has anything to do with Welker.
It might,
you know,
but I wouldn't read into it that it's not going well or it is going well or whatever.
Maybe Brady needed it for a mortgage payment on his new house.
And you do need money. You need money to be available. You have your draft picks to worry about. You're going to bring more players in.
Right.
You have guys that are going to get injured. You can't just say there's $10 million in cap space. Well, we can give that to Welker and. You know, all of a sudden, you're right up against the cap on on April 1st. That's not a good way to do it.
For all we know, when they signed the original deal with Brady, they had a handshake agreement with Donald Yee that in year X, you know, we're going to look at restructuring too, just so you know. And maybe this is the time where they were, you know, who knows?
So you know, Donald Yee is available any and all times that teams want to restructure their deals with his big money players. That's good for the player.
Yeah, no, I know it is. This is no sacrifice by Tom Brady.
No, it's the opposite.
Yeah. Right.
It's a perk for the player.
I think it might signal that a move is coming. Something is.
It could be.
But
I don't think that you should worry about
moves.
Yeah,
you could have seven more of these guys making nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew.
All right, guys.
Thanks for calling. Sterling writes in. He says,
"Jason at Red Bank." Woo.
Sterling Moore is listening to the show.
Nice play in the title game.
Another
Sterling title game.
I think he's from the University of New Mexico, by the way. He says, "Hey, Andy, you know there are reports." Tebow was involved in orchestrating the trade to New York and bypassing Jacksonville in terms of establishing his brand. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then I don't like that. if I'm a Jets fan even more, because now he's more concerned about his brand than playing football.
I don't know how much veracity you can lend to those reports, though.
Yeah, I don't really either.
Well, there was a report that Jacksonville actually, you know, the Jets ended up having to pay half that $5.1 million, and Jacksonville was willing to pay more of it and give a better draft pick. So if that's the case, what happened? You know, why would, if you're the Jets, turn down money, leave money on the table? You don't care where he goes, right?
Well, but no.
I agree with that, but if I do think there's nothing wrong with, and as long as it's in the ballpark, I don't think there's anything wrong if Pat Bowlen and John Elway went to Tebow and said, okay, these are the two things. Which one would you rather go to? I don't think there's anything wrong. I know a lot
but
of people.
What about Tebow wanting to go back to Florida?
No. But a lot of people would frown upon that. Yeah. If like, say, Bill Belichick, you found out that he went to a player and, you know, he went to Mike Vrabel and said, where would you rather go? I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't either.
As long as it's not like, oh, I could have got a first-round pick from Jacksonville, but I took a fourth and a sixth from that's ridiculous. You can't hurt your team.
I don't either.
But as long as all things are pretty much equal, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I think the point is, conventional wisdom thought that Tebow would prefer to go back to Florida.
Well,
and now we're finding out perhaps he prefers to go to a big market, which – that was against
what we thought.
What's
better for him?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe he thought, I mean, you assume that because he grew up in Jacksonville, he wants to play for Jacksonville. Maybe he looks at that team, that coaching staff, and says, you know what? As much as I love my hometown, I don't want to play for these guys. Maybe I have a better shot to become a better player if I go to New York.
Possibly.
Maybe he can help more people in New York. I'm going to take him at his word as a Christian who wants to help people.
But now we're talking
non-football. You always have to take it to the theater of the
now
absurd.
We're talking
why
non-football.
Is that absurd?
No, I think there might be something to that.
Somebody,
I think that's
Jeff
plausible.
Darlington from NFL.com wrote an article precisely on that today.
It's no different than a rapper, except his goal isn't rapping. His goal is helping
that,
people.
But I don't like that as a Jets fan because now.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with
I don't like that.
Well, that's fine.
No, I didn't mean that.
You can not like that if you don't want to. But
I just meant like you say it like in such a mocking way.
Well, I'm taking him at his word. That
but that's what I mean. Oh. Here you go.
Why is Bo on SportsCenter again?
Uh-oh. Just moved for
I'm
Andy.
I'm out. Oh,
yeah, Dion.
Did more than moved.
Jeevan writes in.
You
he
need
says,
an extra sock?
I am so.
You can't watch this and not tell me he wasn't the greatest, most exciting athlete in the history
I
of the world.
I do think, by the way, Fred, that there's a lot of arguments
Ooh,
to
Bo
be
Jackson
made that
lied.
The Jets were a better place for him than Jacksonville.
You do?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because I think they're a better team, and he has a better chance to succeed there.
Maybe he realized he's not
a
quarterback.
I think if he'd gone to Jacksonville and they made him the quarterback, I think there's a chance that he would have been out of the league in 2 years.
You do.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are not very good. They don't have a following. They don't have any real structure around to help him succeed. I think he would have had a tough time there.
So you think that in the Jets he'll have a chance to develop?
As a football player?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think there's a lock that he's going to do that at the Jets either. I just think the Jets are a better situation.
Okay. It's going to be fascinating. I mean,
I could see that if he thought that. Now, if he wanted to go home and that was more important to him is to go there, maybe Andy's point is right. You know, he already has. They're all converted already in Jacksonville. They're already Tebow files.
Sure.
I mean, they're followers of him. You know, maybe he goes to New York and he can win over a whole new segment of the population, a much bigger one.
That's possible.
Can we pot this up?
You know, whether
Bo is live on SportsCenter.
Whether it's good or bad, there's no doubt that the focus is going to be on the Jets and how New York, not the team, but I think how New York City gets along with Tim Tebow and how Tim Tebow gets along with New York City. It's going to be fascinating.
Oh, there's no doubt it's fascinating on about 100 levels.
Yeah, I mean, my God, if I'm...
He's an awesome guy.
If I'm
Can
all
I
these,
tell you, I love that song now. Can't stop singing.
See?
If I'm all these networks, I am clamoring
wow,
and begging the Jets to allow me to do some type of reality around this. Jeevan writes in, Jeevan, I'm sorry. He says, I'm so happy the Jets got Tim Tebow. I don't understand... why they'd give up anything for him. One or two things can only happen. He becomes a starter or he starts, sits a backup quarterback for a few years, holding on to $6 million plus salary. The circus that comes with him distracts the whole team, both benefiting the Patriots. The Jets are so focused on beating the Patriots that every move they make is based on what will hurt us rather than just focusing on making their team better. Let them to continue to try so hard and fail time and time again. Losing the law firm hurts, though. He was so reliable. I just hope Ridley learned something from him about holding on to the ball. And finally, what do you guys think about bringing in Channing Crowder to compete with Ninko, who took a year off of football but is still only 28 years old?
Is he healthy? I thought he was done.
I think his plan was to try to come back. I don't know how that – I haven't heard much about Channing Crowder lately, but I think the emailer is right. I think his plan was to take the year off in an effort to try to get healthy. I don't know how that worked out.
Yeah.
I'd take
him. Does this mean Bo is in Connecticut right now?
Yeah, Bristol.
So, like, in under 2 hours,
or,
I could
be
in
Los Angeles.
I don't know where that show is. I could be there.
Please. Go.
Russ in England says...
then I'll be in prison for a while when I get, you know, for stalking.
Russ in England says, hey, Fred, I mentioned this to you and Paul on Twitter, but I distinctly remember Andy coming back from the combine after hearing Tebow speak, saying he didn't care for him, based mostly entirely off of one line. Quote, seeing the smiles on the faces of all those kids who other people don't care about. End quote. Ever since then, Andy has called him a fraud, seemingly taking umbrage with the suggestion that someone cares about homeless kids overseas more than he does. He's called Tebow a fraud enough times it seems he's actually got himself convinced. I'm all for irrational hate, but it's starting to wear thin. Regarding football, do you guys think a wild Tebow package or whatever the Jets are going to call it can actually work?
Yes.
I mean, once he's on the field, you know to expect something. You saw how the Patriots managed to snuff out the Dolphins' wildcat in recent years. It just seems it will be too predictable.
No, the guy doesn't listen. What I said was, I find it arrogant for someone to say, no one else cares about those kids. There are a lot of good people in this world that do a lot of good work to help people in need, impoverished. His claim that he's the only one that cares about him is what bothers me, that arrogance.
And the emailer, what's the emailer's name?
Russ.
Russ. Andy would definitely be the contradiction to my claim on Tuesday that the people that really don't like Tim Tebow generally don't like him as a football player, but the Tebowites all say, oh, why does everybody complain about – Andy would be the contradiction to that. Andy just hates him. Mm-hmm. He just hates him, flat out hates him.
Right.
And he's not alone, but I think that most of the analysts that come down on him do so for football reasons. So when I say everybody, obviously that's hyperbole. Andy is an outlier.
All right.
Andy just hates him.
We got a lot of emails coming in on all different subjects, including Andrew Luck having a pro day today and RG3 having one the other day. We'll talk all about that. Could RG3 be going to the Colts? We'll be right back.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Braves! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation and account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW In Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm going to make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe we'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, back here in PFW In Progress, Andy, Paul, Eric, Fred, Matt in the booth.
Okay, so we're going to be honest now. After you guys all mock me for my love of Bo, when we're off air, you can all admit that he was the greatest athlete ever. And you said, Fred, what?
I said he could have been if he
had
stayed.
If you
had
one wish.
Well,
I don't know about
one of my wishes would be to go back in time and keep him healthy, because I think he would have been one of the greatest athletes ever, Bo Jackson.
He was. There would have been no question that he stayed healthy. He already is one of the greatest athletes.
And as I said off the air, he was all right.
Because you're a douche.
No,
how can you love a big white stiff like Drew Bledsoe and not acknowledge Bo?
Oh, God, that's not even fair to compare. I mean, the athleticism of those two.
No, I'm just talking about being great. Greatness. Bo exuded greatness.
But I never claimed that
charisma.
Drew Bledsoe was the greatest of
charisma.
All time.
Charisma. He was everything that you wanted in a charismatic athlete. Big, well, strong,
except
fast.
Dedication.
He was dedicated to being Bo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's scary to think how great he could have been in either sport if he just decided to do one.
And, you know, I don't want to get off topic too much, but was Bo the first, like, big Nike guy, like, before? I mean, Jordan was huge.
Jordan
was the first big Nike guy? Okay.
That Bo Knows campaign was one of the great marketing campaigns
of all time.
But that
came after Michael Jordan?
Yeah. Jordan was already with them, I believe.
All right.
We should say, just he was on SportsCenter for Bo, what was it, Bo Rides America?
Bo Bikes Alabama.
Bo Bikes Bama. Yeah. He's doing a charity bike ride across Alabama for Toledo.
And he wants to make sure he helps out. Spread the word.
BoBikesBama.com if you want to go to a T-shirt. I'll be going there after the show to see if I can get a T-shirt.
And then other news, Andy will be biking to Alabama later today.
Right.
I'll fly, and then I'll bike with him.
John writes in.
Can I be the bike seat? Oh.
At webradio at patriots.com. Just wanted to chime in. In my opinion, the Tebow match with the Jets is perfect. I think that Sexy Rexy coach is scared and has a massive amount of false confidence to try and reassure himself. Sanchez plays scared. but at least he's honest about his fear. And if he can focus it to give direction, maybe he could be a legit second-tier quarterback. Tebow was the same way. I think he knows he sucks, and the facade he puts on with the religion hides his insecurity and by default makes him a fraud because he can't approach his game head-on and diverts to something that is less open to hard fact criticism. Simple stats compared to religious belief. Plus, the trade makes the football season infinitely more entertaining as a Patriots fan.
I don't know exactly what that guy said, but I think I agree with him.
I don't. I think he's,
I don't
he's looking at a conspiracy theory. Yeah.
I don't agree with his characterization of Rex Ryan, and I don't agree with his character
with
more
his
of Tim Tebow.
Just sounded
Tim
to
Tebow
me like
does
he was
not
ripping
lack
Tebow,
confidence.
So.
Do you think Tim Tebow lacks confidence?
Not at all.
No. I think he's as confident an individual as you'll ever run
across. I think he lacks reality.
Maybe. Maybe he's naive in a little, in a way, but to say that anybody could stand up there and talk the way he talks and lack confidence, that's ridiculous to me. And I don't think Rex Ryan lacks confidence either, by
no.
the way.
God, no. Fred, you want to express your little theory about Tebow and Sanchez or no?
I think that eventually the way this turns out is they end up dating.
I missed quite a morning.
I think
today,
that's,
yeah, you
I don't know. It's kind of gay.
Wouldn't that be something, though?
Yes, it would be.
Tim.
Awkward working relationship.
From,
what if it goes sour? You know, then they have to play with each other. I mean, yeah.
Well,
so, forget it.
Tim from.
Drama!
Tim from Fresno, California. Blessed be the Tebow, for he shall freak out the Sanchez. We shall all be watching as St. Timothy lays on the hands and heals the Jets. Those misguided souls awash in self-pity. Let's all get some popcorn and watch them implode. That would be great. I mean, I'll be rooting for that for sure.
You really can't make him the backup because if Sanchez, you know, pulls a muscle or twists an MCL, you can't have Tebow come in just in case he plays well because then you become Elway.
Well, plus, then you have to worry about what the offense is.
So he just has to be a wildcat. You have to keep your Stanton or whoever. Yeah, you can't. I don't know
it's
why.
Like
why do you have to carry the other guy?
McElroy?
Yeah.
Locker room. We've got to fix this problem. They're the only team I ever saw that says, we need to improve our locker room, so let's do it by gathering backup quarterbacks.
Right.
How can you lead if you're a backup? If you're not on the field, how can they follow you?
It's true.
I mean,
McElroy's the one who trashed the locker room.
No, I know who he is, but by all accounts, he's a stand-up. That's why he was so offended by it, is because he's such a team guy. Now, to me, it was a blatant attempt for him to try to just get out of New York and go somewhere else, and it didn't work because evidently they didn't release him.
For the record, I don't like him either. I didn't like his tone at the combine.
Well, I don't
like a douche.
I don't like him, period. I don't think he can play. But I just don't know how you can really impact leadership without playing a prominent role on the team.
I agree. The problem is the quarterback is supposed to be your natural leader.
Right.
And if he isn't, now you're trying to manufacture and do everything else.
That's right.
That's the problem inherent with Mark Sanchez.
Yep. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Wow, what a week or two. The Bills now become formidable on defense. The Broncos become an almost guaranteed Super Bowl contender. And the Patriots pick up multiple Jags in a malcontent. Things couldn't be better. So now whose defense do you fear more, the Jets or the Bills? And now Tebow gets to circumcise a few Jets. Wonder if Footboy will be first in line. That is figurative, Andy. I am so happy for the Jets and Tebow. They were made for each other, and I truly can't wait for the circus to come to town. And Peyton going to the Broncos, does Fox hand him the playbook and say, learn this, or do they sit down and rewrite it? Do the Broncos adapt to Peyton or vice versa? Can Peyton convert the Broncos to his no-huddle offense because that is where he's most effective?
The Broncos adapt to Peyton.
Oh, absolutely. When you have a guy of his caliber.
Well, plus, you don't have an offense.
God, right. You traded your offense.
I mean, it's not like the Patriots are taking him, and they've had this system that's been in place for 13 years, and Brady's gone, and now Peyton's coming in. They don't have an offense.
Yep.
So. What's your guy's name?
McCoy.
Mike McCoy?
I don't know.
Why do I forget his name?
He
was such a big part of the story down the stretch last year, and I completely forget who he is.
John thinks that from Bethesda thinks that we should talk about Brady being classy for taking a pay cut.
What? He didn't take a pay cut. He restructured his contract.
He took a check.
They cut him a check.
Yeah.
Say it again, Fred. If you want to give me that 37 cents that you pay me a year up front, I'd be interested.
When guys restructure in the NFL, they don't get a dime less. In fact, they end up probably making more or
at least more initially.
Right. Chad writes in, Brandon Lloyd will outperform Branch this year easily, given Lloyd and Brady have a full training camp together. His speed will be a welcome addition. And remember, this will be the first legit quarterback Lloyd has ever had. He'll have a great stat line at the end of the season. Mark it down.
He very well could.
So,
I doubt it's going to be what you said.
ESPN had a good article the other day comparing Lloyd, in 20-plus yard catches over the last 3 years or more than all the Patriots wide receivers put together. So, it's very, very well done article with stats to back it up.
At catch or after catch?
At catch. At catch. Let's see. Gentlemen and Andy, would the Patriots get anything out of signing Jim Leonard, or is he all done?
He's too small and gets too injured. Yeah. Too many injuries. I don't want anything to do with him.
I don't think he can play. So I'm not a good gauge. I think he stinks.
Brooklyn Matt says yesterday was even more exciting here in New York than a regular season Sunday. Hopefully I can give Tebow some much-needed street cred. I'll take him turnstile jumping and show him the aesthetic beauty of it and how it resonates. A bon vivant social activity, which is lost on Nazi Andy. I don't know why you have to bring the Nazis into it.
Now I'm a Nazi because I think stealing subway fare is stupid for an adult.
Yeah.
You're not a kid. You're not a teenager. You're not in college. You claim you're this highfalutin music industry Donald Trump elbow rubbing model doing man, and you're jumping turnstiles.
I like it, Andy.
If that makes me a Nazi, then damn it, I'm a Nazi.
At 40 years old.
Don't save that.
It is kind of odd. It is kind of
odd. Mark type.
You might not want to save that one.
I don't get it.
Yeah. We'll be off the air.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at Patriots.com. Let's go to Orlando in the name, not the place. What's up, Orlando?
How you doing, fellas?
Good.
Been kind of staying away from football, just kind of recently getting back. Finally picked the glass out of my foot from kicking the television set from that night. Quick comment there on both Jackson and Andy. I got to agree with you, man. I mean, like, just judging from what I saw of the guy, had he stayed healthy, I have no doubt that he would be the all-time rushing champion, man. I have never seen a guy with that blend of power and speed before, or really even since, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, brother.
Oh, yeah. Something else.
I think the only guy you can even talk about is Jim Brown.
Exactly.
You have to go back that far.
And I don't think Jim Brown had the speed, right?
Oh, he did.
Well, he did. Yeah, in his prime, he did. Yeah.
I don't think it was as fast as Poe.
Well, no.
I mean, he was fast. He was fast compared to the other players.
He didn't have the nutritional
time,
advantages that Poe did.
Oh, you know, I see what you're saying. If you look at some of if you look at some of the old film they had of Jim Brown when he was running, it's like, wow, you know, like he looks two steps ahead of everybody else. Yeah. Right? I mean, he just looked fast as all get out.
And he similarly had a short career because he decided to retire.
That old time film though is sped up a lot. They do look a lot faster. Even when they were walking around and driving, you know.
No, I mean, this wasn't from like the 30s.
I know, I'm kidding.
The projectors click in and everything.
Black, there's no sound. Right. It's just.
Yeah, well, all right. Listen, guys, looking at the Brandon Lloyd signing, I find it hard to get excited over it. I mean, because it's like, you know, all right, we signed him for decent money, you know, for really good money, actually. You know what I mean? So that kind of lessens the pain, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm not sold on this guy. He had one good year. I mean, and people are just judging that 1 year that, yes, he did have with McDaniels, but everybody's judging the one good year he had. And it's like, look at the other years he had prior to that. Guy stunk.
Fred, you want to handle this?
I think he's going to be fine. You got to look at the places he's been, the quarterbacks that's been throwing to him. And the thing that I like is the fact that McDaniels is here. I'm sure that he was consulted prior to bringing in, and I'm sure he came with his, you know, recommendations. So, you know, McDaniels is coming off a pretty rocky last few years, and the last thing he wants to do is, you know, give bad advice. And so I think this tells me that McDaniels was pretty confident in this guy, And that makes me feel better about it.
So, right.
Thanks, Orlando.
I'm sure McDaniels is confident, but you can be confidently wrong. And I think Josh has a lot of confidence.
Sure.
I think he has a lot of confidence in himself and his decision-making. And like I said, he had a great year with McDaniels. You know, the experience for Josh, you're not lying.
He's done it.
It was great with me. Yeah. I had he was everything I wanted.
He's done it with lesser quarterbacks than Tom Brady. So let's see.
Certainly has.
He could be one of those guys that just can't pick it up. We'll see.
Or he could be one of those guys that can't do it if he's not the focal point of the offense. Yeah.
See, I don't think it's necessarily an issue of picking it up as it is, what does he do if he's not number one option a lot? How does he handle it?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the past, he hasn't handled that well.
And based on how he handles it, how does Brady handle him handling
right.
it?
And I think that you can make an argument, if you're Brandon Lloyd, that he's the most talented wide receiver on the roster.
Yes.
And, you know, probably in his mind, I think you can make an argument worthy of being a top option on a lot of plays. I don't think he's going to be.
Right. And like it does everywhere, if they don't win, that will have more of a chance of rearing its head. Than
yeah, I don't
when
have
was the
any,
last time they didn't win?
I don't have any fear of them not winning. I really don't. And that might sound arrogant, but right now I think that the program is pretty much established. I think we go in knowing they're going to be a playoff team.
Right.
Barring a catastrophic injury like what happened in 08. I don't see them. I don't see not winning as being really an option. I hope that doesn't sound as arrogant as it
I would just
came
say
across.
It again. When did they not win?
Just one time. When Brady got hurt, that's right. It.
Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Great.
Try not to swear this time. Try not to swear this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, keep it clean.
This time.
Tebow might
but
be listening.
I agree with Orlando because I was a 49er fan and a Patriots fan. And when Lloyd was there, when Garcia was there, I know Garcia's not Brady. You know, he had a couple good catches. But when, like I said, we wasn't the main one, he left there. Then Garcia left a little bit after that. But, I heard y'all replay the other day between him and Starworth. Brady got a more rapport with Starworth than he does with Lloyd, you know, back in 07.
Yep.
And he didn't drop too many passes. And he still have a little speed. And remember, he burned us this year with Washington.
Yep.
So I think he have a better chance with him than he would with Lloyd.
Possibly. The question becomes, what does Starworth have left in the tank? What is he physically... what is it, 5 years now since he had his last truly productive NFL season? That's a long time.
Yep. Yeah, but then again, you got to look at the quarterbacks he had, too. He had Grossman. He had the one before him, and he had the Ravens, but he got hurt for them.
Right, he's had some injuries. He was in jail. He had bad quarterbacks. There's a lot of issues at play there, but I'm just saying, regardless of what the reason, 5 years' time between – if you're expecting him to catch 50 passes, get to that level, not a lot of guys have 5 years in between, you know, 50-catch-type seasons. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the rapport, I agree with you, the rapport should be there. I think everybody likes him. I think Brady liked him. I think they respect him. I think he's relatively intelligent. He's played in the system. I mean, I think there's a lot on that end to expect good things from. But physically, can he do it?
Oh, yeah, you got that right. But that's like, what, 12 receivers we got now? Almost 12?
Lost count. It's getting crowded over there.
No, it's going to be a good camp.
Two of them are good.
And don't forget, the draft's coming up. They could still add to the position.
That's right.
Stephen Hill.
All right, Eldridge.
That's what I want, Stephen Hill, too, man.
I hear you. Reach it. Let's go deep.
All right.
Big
Reuben Randall.
Threat.
Thanks for the call. Eldridge, Kenny from Virginia writes
in. I take him, too.
Kenny says, first-time emailer and listener of 3 years.
Well, welcome aboard. Have you bought lunch?
You guys do a great job. Look forward to your show every Tuesday and Thursday. Stuck here in Deadskin Nation. And you guys provide great insight, especially Paul and Andy. Anyway, now that Benny has departed, it's almost inevitable the Patriots will either pick up a running back via free agency or the draft. I personally see them signing a veteran, but with Michael Bush gone, who all is left on the free agency market that you guys feel is worth signing? I believe Cedric Benson is, but I personally am not high on him. Again, keep up the great work. Jets suck. Tebow's a tool, and go Pats.
I actually think if you want to treat my
Bueller,
I don't think Benson would be ridiculous if he finds absolutely nobody and he's one of those June. You know, there's always backs available in June that he can't find anywhere else.
Just fumbles a lot. Just be funny to go from a guy who never fumbles to a guy who fumbles a lot.
Two guys who fumble a lot. Ridley.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Benson fumbled like 12 times the last 2 years. I mean, not twice.
He was in Cincy. He'll be fine. That's what we say about players that come here.
Well, that's true. You're right.
Otherwise, I don't know that there's a lot left out there that I'm intrigued by
there
in
isn't.
Any way.
Man, and
I'm looking
at the list right now.
I don't think they're going to use a draft pick or a significant one anyway because of they just did. You know, a second and third round pick, I would find it hard to believe they used another high resource in the draft to get another running back.
The list is unimpressive.
That's but it's also
but I think they
mildly
do need
irrelevant.
They need another one.
They
don't
do,
think?
But they don't.
I think they'll draft one.
I mean,
they could draft. I think they'll draft another running back.
They're going to throw the ball 500 times, and it's
no,
going to be
I
a
know
complimentary.
Whoever they get will be a complimentary piece. That's why I think you just get a free agent that, you know, one of these guys like a Thomas Clayton type that
Sandy
maybe,
Morris.
Yeah, maybe you think it can be a little bit more.
What did he sign in Dallas? Is that a multi-year deal?
No, 1 year. I think he's available.
Sammy Morris, you could bring in and get your five, carries where he's not going to fumble, and you can find those guys. For the complimentary aspect, because if you hit, you're not hitting on that guy you bring in. You're probably hitting on Ridley.
Right.
If you hit. So you already have him. Or Vereen. I mean, he showed some flashes.
Sure. What day is Easter?
The 8th?
The 8th.
Of April.
April.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. A Sunday, isn't it?
Correct.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Easter Sunday. It's always a Sunday.
Well, that's
Brooklyn Matt online.
Well, he asked what day is Easter, and I was thinking.
So that Friday. So that Friday, you have Tebow ride into New York on a donkey.
I should have known it was something very important.
And they throw palms at him. Right?
What is wrong with you?
That's the Sunday before?
No, Fred. That's the Sunday before.
Yeah, so,
Palm
okay,
Sunday.
So April 1st.
Good Friday was when he was
April.
It was called Palm Sunday because the church had it out.
April 1st, Tebow rides
what
into
exactly
Manhattan.
What exactly did they have out, Andy?
They're palm.
Oh,
they want money.
Okay.
Sorry, Fred. Go ahead.
So April 1st, Tebow rides into Manhattan on a donkey. They
saying,
wait.
Just kidding. Yeah. I don't think he would really play along with that. I think he takes that stuff kind of seriously.
Oh, okay. I just think it'd be cool. Let's see. Marcellus writes in, Tebow to the Jets.
45 seconds, we can never get there.
Here comes the circus. Are the Jets trying to win a Super Bowl or get media attention? I'm not even sure how Tebow would fit in that offense. Why would you get two mediocre quarterbacks? Patriots 14-2, Bills 10-6, Dolphins 8-8, Jets 4-12.
I've seen a lot of predictions of that.
Yeah?
Of 4-12?
Yeah.
I'd have to see... take a better look at what they still have. I don't know how much they lost in free agency and stuff, but I can't imagine.
That seems a little.
I can't imagine they bottomed out
extreme.
Like that.
Yeah. 8-8, maybe.
No, I could see that again, like last year.
Yeah.
But
I
from
see.
A pure talent perspective, I can't see them bottoming out like that. I think they have too much talent.
I see a complete implosion.
Worse than last year?
Yep. Yep.
So I think they had.
You've been seeing that for the last.
I think
10
they,
years,
but he was right last. I think they had a complete implosion
last year.
Yeah, but
he was wrong. Year.
Went
the
other 9 years.
Right.
Same
well,
old Jets.
The exact
which
same
time?
Thing.
Which time?
TG and NJ. I'm so excited. I live about 15 minutes from the Jets facility. Tim Tebow could be moving to my neighborhood. I can't wait to bump into him and become a better person. Living behind enemy lines.
Let Andy know.
Living behind enemy lines. It can be hard. The loss in the playoffs 2 years ago, and it can be fun. Bumping into a Jets trainer at Starbucks after the 45-3 win. I have a lot of friends who are Jets fans, of course, and they are just resigning themselves to the circus. Some are even giving up on the team after 40-plus years of being a fan. See, this is what I'm talking about. I used to talk smack with them, but now I just feel bad for them, like kicking a guy when he's down. So glad I have front row seats. I'll be going to Jets training camp for sure. All right, got to go get a goddamn, gosh darn snack.
But that's, I think, an emotional, visceral reaction from some of those fans right now.
Yep.
When the season starts, when Sanchez is playing and starts throwing picks or incompletions or running around and getting sacked, the visceral reaction then is going to be bring in the backup quarterback or bring in the name quarterback.
Right.
And in this case, it's Tebow.
It's low-hanging fruit. It's just right there. It slaps you in the face. It's just too easy.
If Sanchez plays well, then you're going to be right, Fred. No one's going to be calling for Tim Tebow.
Especially when...
But if he doesn't, they're not going to be calling for Drew Stanton.
If they use Tebow on a regular basis in a some sort of package, goal line, short yardage, he's going to be in front of mind of a lot of the fans because he'll be out on the field. They'll see him. They'll get used to seeing him on the field.
Imagine
and if he has any
success with that.
That's what I mean. If he has any success at all, that's what the inclination is going to be.
If Stanton's
call
still
for
on
him.
The team, they'll be calling for Stanton before they call
for
Tebow.
Oh, no, they won't.
Wow.
No, they won't.
No way.
In a long line of things that you've said on this show that
I just
no
think the Jets fans know he's not a quarterback, and they're not even hoping he will be.
And they think that Drew Stanton is?
Well, I think they probably have more, you know, feeling that he could be one rather than
I mean,
no
if, you know what I hope?
Not
I hope
one person will yell, I hope Drew we get Stanton!
I
Drew
hope
Stanton.
We get an opportunity to see how this unfolds because I hope it just blows up on him. I think when you make stupid moves for the wrong reasons, they deserve to blow up on
you. You know what
him.
He's going to say? When they're booing, they're not booing, they're drooling.
could be, right, right, right. Stripper says that Bo Jackson is trending on Twitter and nobody knows why.
Because well, Bo bikes Bama.
Right.
He was just on ESPN.
And I'm going to go order a T-shirt soon. Hope they have those T-shirts. Be weird, Paul, if I show up at my tax guy next year. You know how I didn't have any receipts for my charitable donations? You gave $50,000 to Bo Bikes Bama?
Now, what exactly was that?
I don't know.
Since Fred's chewing a side note, I tried the Dorito Loco Taco last night.
Oh, yeah?
Phenomenal. Absolutely.
Now, did you have to drive 900-plus miles to
no,
do it?
No. I drove right to the mall, picked one up, and drove home with that and the 12-pack of soft tacos for the kids. But lives up. Just it's just a big Dorito with meat and cheese inside. It's everything you could want.
It's everything you always wanted in a meal.
It is. I didn't check the health benefits of eating it.
Sean wants to know who the running back is going to be for the Patriots next year. We just
Stephen
talked
about Ridley.
Ridley.
Right now, it would be Stephen Ridley, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd be surprised if it's not Stephen Ridley to start the year, barring an injury, period, regardless of what happens
what
between now and then.
What if he fumbles 7 times in preseason?
That would be surprising to me.
But, yeah, he'd still be the starter.
And if he does, then yeah. I have a big question.
That would be surprising
that would qualify
too.
As a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. If he does that, I think the Patriots would be looking for that guy who's available at
Although
that
time. Always available
right,
at that time.
Right.
And I do know, and I know Andy was exaggerating, but fumbles are something to be concerned about with Ridley, and not just, I'm not talking about last December. He had a little bit of a problem at LSU, and that's part of the reason why he didn't really get a lot of chances to be the guy at LSU until his last year, because he lost the ball a little bit. So just something.
And that's a cardinal sin more with this offense than any other. When you're a complimentary aspect
right, when
of
you're
the
getting
offense,
the ball 10 to 15 times a game and you're losing one.
Right, and you're taking a chance away from Brady in the passing attack.
Right.
You're out. Sorry, right. Got to go.
No, there's no no room for that in this
team.
You
going to polish that bottle off now, Paul?
Hamza in Toronto, believe it or not, I finally resurfaced from Super Bowl morning this week. After the confetti came
this
down.
This is a strange week for a lot of people to be coming back
it.
From their Super
yeah.
Bowl loss.
Yeah. After the confetti came down, I went down the hole never again. My fault for believing in retribution. No SportsCenter, no NFL.com, no Patriots.com, not even PFW thing. To make the point, I didn't even know Manning was a free agent until this Monday. But it's spring finally, and I missed you guys, so this is just to say hello again and hope you've been doing okay. I'm thinking of going back and listening to some of the previous shows, and I was wondering if you could tell me approximately when you stopped talking about the Super Bowl. I'd like to avoid reliving it if possible. I think it was like within 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would say 2 weeks. Stay
Fred
away
didn't
from.
Let us talk about it after the game.
those next four shows, those yeah. 2 weeks, stay away from those probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're
probably safe if you get to the end of February.
You're probably going to hear some references.
End of February?
Yeah.
You're probably going to be all right.
Just a question about the Saints thing. Do you guys think these penalties are punitive? I don't. I'm just wondering if they came down hardest on the wrong guy. Peyton seems to have been made an example of more than Williams. The latter is lucky he isn't being charged with assault. Off the field, that's what he'd be facing. I realize the buck stops with the head coach, but how much do you think Peyton was complicit in this? He strikes me as a little bit aloof in the personnel department. What do you guys think?
He was full in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they came down the hardest on Greg Williams.
Yeah, Greg Williams may never
suspension.
Coach again.
Yeah.
It's indefinite.
And he deserved to have the harshest punishment.
Just because he looks like a woman, right?
Oh, for God's sakes.
He does.
It's true.
Looks like an old lady.
He looks like a woman.
There are some people who, the older they get, the more they look like the opposite sex. It's true.
Like your guy.
Women, too.
Your guy in Denver.
So, the Arthur.
What? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, your
Jim
guy
Sakamano.
In Denver.
Just... Oh, we're not. That was more to do with hips, wasn't it?
The bridge to Denver has just been burned.
So, talking about the bounty stuff. Something kind of interesting on Twitter that Jeremy
we'll be the
Shockey,
judge of that.
Now, is it real?
Well, what'd you say, Matt? I'm
it
sorry.
It was tweeted out by Jeremy Shockey, and it's a picture from his iPhone to Sean Payton. It's a tweet back and or a text message back and forth with Sean Payton, and it says essentially, you know, this is media BS. Sapp, you know I didn't do what Sapp said I did. And he says, Shock, you're my guy. You always will be. I know you had nothing to do with it, and you were in the offensive meetings with me. Love you, Sean.
Well,
that's Peyton's way of saying, I didn't know about this. Certainly not to the extent that it's being made out to
right.
be, which is a bunch of BS.
That's all BS.
Matt, I like Sean Payton, but he's dead wrong in
Matt,
this
you said you had a pretty good quote, tweet to read?
Yeah, a couple of them from, there's a community event going on today okay. with kids from Camp Sunshine, and Robert Kraft spoke with the media, apparently.
Yes.
And when asked about Matt Light retiring, he apparently got emotional and said, quote, you'll have to talk to Matt. So, according to Greg A. Bedard, said nothing to dissuade the fact that Matt Light will probably be retiring.
Oh, okay.
And that he is very hopeful that they will sign both Dan Copen and Dion Branch. Robert Kraft is.
Okay. All right. Well, that's some news there.
What do you think of that, the latter part? I mean, I think the Light thing is not overly surprising. I think
right.
we kind of had an idea that might be heading that way.
Right.
Branch and Copen.
I'd be surprised if both of them come back.
I'd be surprised if Copen comes back.
Yeah.
I think Branch will be back. Copen, I don't see the need.
Yeah, well, and I don't see the fit money-wise. You gave,
Connelly.
Name, a little bit of money.
Yeah, but don't you think now they've got Copen's feet to the coals, and he's out there seeing that he can't get much more than what the Patriots would offer me, and he just comes back here because he's...
Well,
but is he?
Yeah. If he just wants to come back and
oh yeah,
my home is in Rhode Island, but nothing else,
right.
then he'll be back.
Right.
But if he wants some money, then he'll be elsewhere.
He might want to come back for money.
But don't you think he's looking right now? And if he had a deal, he'd have taken it?
No.
No.
No?
Not necessarily.
I think he wants to be back here for money.
Right.
And now he's going to see if he can get money. And then maybe he, if he can't, he
right.
might look for money.
I also don't think he's the kind of guy right now who gets much money. He's the guy that signs in a couple weeks or a month
yeah.
that you forgot was even out there.
His last contract was the one he made money on.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I do think there's a chance he could be back here.
I don't.
I just don't see the need.
I think it's, again, depth. You know?
Fine, but, I mean, for a team that supposedly, you know, doesn't want to pay too much for different things, I mean, you definitely have to give them at least what Connelly's
paying. You know, what if...
I would think.
So now you're paying two starting centers money.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't know.
To
maybe they go to Copen and they say, you know, Connelly is more versatile than you. That's why he's getting more than you. You know?
And if he just wants to come back, maybe.
Yeah.
If so, it's all about him just saying, I want to be here.
And Branch, we haven't ruled out.
No, I think Branch will
be
back.
Oh, I think Branch will be back.
Yeah. Let's see. John writes in, according to NFL.com, RG3 wowed at his pro day. Griffin has excellent feet, and he's equally good to his right or left. Many players are better off going one way or the other, but he was equally impressive both ways. Thinks I think Rex Ryan.
Now, there it is.
No, he made a face when he said it. That's what made me laugh.
I think he was anticipating the laugh that you were going to give him.
Well, he created it then. It was a self-fulfilling
expectation. Oh, so if he hadn't done the face, you wouldn't have laughed?
So the fact that Fred knows that you're an immature little boob and you were going to laugh at that is Fred's fault?
Well, he smirked. He made the face.
You would have laughed anyway.
But yes, he did apparently have a very, very impressive pro day. All scripted. What's that guy's name? Terry O'Shea or something? One of those
former Rutgers coach
guru types. And it was all scripted. But then everybody liked at the end that they did a unscripted throwback pass, him and Wright, because they always do it on their own whenever they're playing around. I guess they always end with Wright throwing him a throwback, and they
so
did that.
So it was unscripted, but really not.
Kind of scripted, you know.
And you know what we should do? We should do that thing we always do.
Yeah. Well, it's like an encore at a concert. Everybody pretends if I cheer loud, he'll come back out.
Right.
No, he's coming back out no matter what. You could boo your ass off. It's just what they do.
Well, and you're like, no, get off the stage, you bums.
I love how they pretend that, though, like it's some great thing. Oh, we got him to come back. He always comes back out.
Davey,
the reason concerts are overrated. It's stupid.
Who's he arguing with?
Not so good.
Matt in Brooklyn.
Yelling.
That's who.
Railing at the wind.
Yeah.
Damon from Grand Island, Nebraska writes in, just wondering, when do they announce the schedule? I know the Patriots play the Broncos. Just wanted to know if they are playing in Denver or New England. I'd love to see the Patriots kick the crap out of Broncos again, especially if Peyton is at the helm.
Broncos are coming here. We know that already.
Yeah, we know it's going to be a home
December.
Game.
I think I'm going to start saving these email addresses and sometime in March next year start emailing these people and say, when are you going to start sending your email in asking when the schedule comes out? It's the same every year.
Wow. Two just bitter little...
Because that's... I mean, if you're a football fan, you should... That's... Like, you know that the weekend after Labor Day is when the season starts. That's a given.
The draft is the last.
The draft is the last weekend in April. The schedule comes out usually 2 weeks before the draft, early to mid-April, every year. Same thing, never changes. Even when they had a lockout last year, schedule came out early to mid-April.
Yelling at?
Yeah,
and I know I was wrong for calling you two bitter.
A side topic that Matt just touched on with the Shockey thing. I hear people saying that like QB killer.
Yes. Yeah.
Could be in trouble for Sapp claiming that Shockey's, you know, doing it on an NFL product and
right.
and the whistleblower laws and protection and even Goodell's own whistleblower protections or whatever, that he could be fired or in trouble or sued. I mean, what's your take on that?
Snitches get stitches.
Saw that last night.
Yeah,
I think that's what
Happy
Goodell
endings.
Is avoiding.
That one I'm saving for a drop. Happy endings. That was on last night.
Oh, I saw it on the tweeter.
The tweeter?
But yeah. That's the mentality that they don't want.
For
they
times
want
like
people
these?
To be able to come forward.
Of course. Yeah.
And my point is, a guy did it, and now he's getting, you know, blackballed potentially, and it all came out on your TV station. One of your employees did it.
Oh, and by the way, I think if we can go back about 3 weeks when we had this argument of why someone didn't just have the humanity to stand up and put an end to it, well, this guy's not even there anymore. And he may or may not have been the guy who blew the whistle on him, and he's already coming under attack.
Well, he has, but I think equally or more so people have come to the defense of Shockey if he did do it and against Warren Sapp for trying to call him out.
Well, you know what,
but it's for different reasons. Andy put it right with Sapp. I mean, that's a violation. That's a violation of protocol right there. And the fact that he did it on an NFL platform, to me, makes it even worse. Sapp deserves to be getting criticized right now. You'd like to think that Shockey could have done this in anonymity if he indeed did it.
And don't pretend that he's a saint.
No.
See what I did there?
Right.
No, he's a Panther. I knew.
If somebody does it for Eric's reasons, the high and mighty moral, this isn't right and I need to put an end. But if you do it because you were traded or you're angry or you were cut or somebody did this, then there's nothing high and mighty about it. It's revenge.
Right.
It's as bad as the other thing.
And that certainly seems to be his motivation.
Right.
Here. You know, Jeremy Shockey, are any of us to believe that the person just found this so
right.
you know, awful that he had to stand up and say, you know, my guy that I used to play with at the U, Jonathan Vilma,
right.
was doing it. Come
you
on.
Tell me stuff that didn't go on worse at the U? I mean, if James Sanders had done this, you'd say, well, that's a stand-up guy doing this.
It's amazing
for the good
how
the
many
game.
Different ways he's able to get James Sanders involved.
It's unbelievable.
And Bo Jackson.
Bo is, you know, that's a different level. My lust for Bo is.
My lust for
I don't know,
Bo
that's,
knows no bounds.
Let's see.
I feel sad for you guys because you don't truly have a hero and a legend in your mind.
I feel like I think he's the great one of
you're
the greatest players I've ever seen.
Paul does.
No,
John DiBiaso
in sports, and you make me feel like I underappreciate
my family members. Tend to look up to them a little bit more
it's
than
different.
You know.
It's
no,
when
I don't,
you're
I don't
a
really
kid, and there's just somebody who captures your youthful imagination. Yeah, anyone who won any given year is yours.
No, just. Listen,
when you're in that developmental stage, whatever I was, when I was 10 or 9, I mean,
but you're
that's
absolutely
the
right.
idolization.
You'll
of
never feel about an athlete
like Bo
the way you did when you were 10.
Of course,
you
not.
Was
nor
Carl
should
Mecklenburg
you.
Or whoever, Jerry Gradishaw. Or something.
I like Randy Gradishaw.
Randy Gradishaw and Carl Mecklenburg. Mecklenburg is the one that had 1-7 under one pit, the other 7 under the other pit.
But right. that, I mean, to me, that's something really, really cool. That you
but
can't...
Fred's off the Broncos now.
Yeah. Is that who that is, Gradishaw for you?
Randy? Well, no. When I was a kid, Bjorn Borg, Muhammad Ali.
Anybody else who won consistently?
Those were two of my big heroes.
Mario Andretti.
Brooks Robinson. Brooks Robinson was another one.
See, but you can't have more than one.
Sure you can.
Why not? Because I can't.
okay, there you go. There you go.
But this is going to sound ultimately gay, but Bo is on such a pedestal for me. Like,
that was
no one else could be on that pedestal, or it would ruin it. There couldn't be more than one.
So that's you.
It's like my wife. I couldn't have more than one wife.
But everybody's different.
But that's what I mean. I feel sorry for you people who can't have someone that you hold in that
first
regard.
Wait, so Brooklyn's
don't ever
asked her to marry her? You wouldn't be able
I would
to do both?
Do her, and
I feel sorry for you that this guy is that high in your life.
Yeah, don't ever feel sorry for me again.
No,
I don't need your pity.
One guy you picked, you were already a professional, and he used Drew, and he was a
stiff. Oh, no. Don't put that. Drew, no.
So who's yours?
No.
And I don't want a list of 17. Do you have one?
I don't know if I probably felt the same, but for me, it's like Bobby Orr. I told you the story.
Bobby Orr should
I've said it 8 million times. When Bobby Orr, I picked up the phone, he called the Herald once. I immediately got off the phone and called my father and said, I just talked to Bobby Orr. I mean, I was like an adult at the time. I was so thrilled. I mean, because that was my childhood.
If I could only pick one, it would be Muhammad Ali.
And I'm sure there's a lot of a generation that is true.
Yeah. I mean, I remember shadow boxing, like, after watching him fight, doing...
Where's the video of that?
Yeah. You know?
Like, he was shadow field goal kicking
today
in the office.
I mean, you know...
He was round shadow.
Was the whole thing, you know?
He was shadow boxing in the shower.
But I just... Shaped like a heavy bag.
I just love... I love Andy, though. What, you can't have more than one. Why?
Because
I can't.
And
but
Eric, that's... It was Picasso?
Too many to name.
No, who would be
athletic-wise, Larry Bird.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird
And he was another one. For me,
Nick Lowry,
yeah, Larry Bird. I was huge on Larry Bird. I mean,
you were huge on everybody.
No, I literally.
I think you're wrong. I mean, you have one that just, you know,
I have others,
so
but they all pale in comparison. There's like a tree, and there's one at the top of the tree.
But there was one season.
But to put Drew Bledsoe and like Larry Bird or Bobby or Reggie Lewis for me, I mean, no, not even close. Drew Bledsoe doesn't come anywhere close. He just happened to be the guy that really got me back into the Patriots because I had given up. And, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, when they were going 1-15 and 2-14, there was no hope. I didn't even watch the games weren't on TV. The home games were never televised.
Right. That's why I was watching Bo.
Right. And that's when you got in. And that's probably why I don't love Bo the way you do, is because it just was the Patriots were so bad that I kind of lost the NFL for a little while there.
Yeah.
And then Parcells came. They drafted Drew and, you know, right back in there. That's why I feel like that about
Where's
Drew.
My guy from Nesson? He understands what I'm saying.
Randy Scott.
Is that his name?
Good guy. Good
he
guy.
Loves Bo, too,
no,
as much as I
do. It was the perfect storm for you. You were at the right age.
Yes.
That, of course.
And I think the marketing played into it. Like,
oh, yeah. The Bo Knows campaign was phenomenal.
But not just the marketing that it was a great campaign. That was sort of the beginning of Nikes were cool.
The ruinization cool. of sport as we know.
T-shirts were cool. Posters, the Bash Brother type posters.
Guys right. were juicing.
Like, when that became more important than what actually happened on the field.
But no.
The ruinization of sport.
That's the difference. Bo did it on the field and off. That's why he's the greatest ever. That's why Jordan's the greatest ever, on the field and off. Not many people do both. Anna Kournikova, off, not on.
Okay.
I just think that style became more important than the substance.
What style? Rushing for 221 yards?
Andre
running
Agassi.
Over linebacker.
Right.
But, right.
Well, he was pretty good.
He was
good,
LeBron
too. James.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, I mean, they're pretty good. No one's saying they're not pretty good, but they're not Michael Jordan.
He combined the two. Or the three.
He wasn't Michael Jordan great.
Yeah, no, he not.
Oh, yes, he was.
No, he had the potential, but he never got.
He got hurt.
That's part of why he.
I have no doubt that
he high regard in my eye because I never had a chance to see him.
Right, he's like.
I have no doubt.
He's like Marilyn Monroe. Right.
I have no doubt that he would have been great.
Yeah.
Right,
but
and he was great.
No, but I'm
an all-star two sports, all-star game MVP, incredible physical plays. It was all there.
It was there, but unfortunately,
I
we never
definitely
got
get
to...
him to take a punch at me. I know I could.
Scott
no,
says
that's too easy.
No.
Scott wants to know with
he spoke very well on
with ESPN. Brady's restructuring.
He did.
Well, he's been working on it for like 25 years.
Sorry, Fred.
Scott wants to know with Brady's restructuring, is Mike Wallace now a possibility?
He wants 8 years, $120 million.
He wants more than Larry Fitzgerald. He says.
Well, he says
despite
that,
the fact
but
that
he's not going to get it.
Restricted free agent.
He's not going to get
but
it.
But the fact that you know the Patriots.
Do you think
that would turn them off?
Do you think? Yeah, I would say.
I'm pretty sure that has turned everyone.
Do you think that he really wants to stay in Pittsburgh
and
he's
doing
putting
that
out there? So
possible.
Sort of even just
right.
Possible.
Unless you're going to start there, don't even talk to me. Right.
That's possible.
You know, like that's the only way I'm leaving Pittsburgh is if someone knocks me over
Could
with this
be.
Offer.
Could yeah. be.
Because obviously he doesn't have to accept anybody's offer sheet.
He doesn't sign with Pittsburgh either.
No, I know. Well, I think he wants
he wants to get a little bit more from them,
right.
too.
Okay. So it's not just a scare tactic.
No,
he wants a lot
money.
Of money.
Yeah.
No, because obviously if someone offers him five
probably.
For 55, all he has to do is say no. He doesn't have to sign an offer sheet that someone offers him.
No, I know. But
so, yeah, I'm not saying it's a scare tactic to keep everybody away
all
from
this
him.
Falls apart if he just stays on the tender, right?
If he stays on the tender?
Like the whole wanting to be in Pittsburgh thing, if it's just they don't, you know, come to an agreement on it. If you really want to be in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh would sign you to a contract that you would sign. $50 million, $40 million. They would sign you to something that
I don't
would
know.
Be market
I don't know if
value.
I don't know if they can, though.
Oh, I think they can. Cap is crap.
No, I'm...
Ooh, he doesn't like it when you use it against him.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, listen, I know there's a way to get around it. I just don't know if it's the smartest thing for them to do now. they might be better off trying to get him on the tender for a year and signing that contract next year. And maybe they can sell him on that. We can give you more if you wait.
Is Antonio Brown going to be
Antonio Brown.
Why do I say Santonio?
Will be a restricted free agent next year.
Holmes. Oh, I thought he was going to be an unrestricted free agent.
No, he's not restricted right now.
The risk that Wallace takes, though, in doing that, you're right, and then he doesn't get the contract.
Well, that's
so I think he's trying to get it
or,
now.
Oh, of course.
Lack of performance.
Yeah, he definitely wants it now.
Some people think he faded over the second half of last year. Mm-hmm. If he fades for another 16 games.
And that's why some people put your guy up there, Brown, because Brown came on at the end of the last year.
Yeah, the trouble is, are those two related? Was everybody focusing on Wallace, and Brown now has opportunities to make some plays?
Could be.
The only thing I would say about Wallace that I'm not sold on is how much of a one-trick pony he is. Can he do – I mean, against the Patriots, he did some crossing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's generally his game. It's the deep stuff and then whatever you do off of the deep stuff. Can he move the chains a little bit? I don't know.
Sure, about five times on one catch.
You know what I mean.
Scott from Farmington, Connecticut says, I've been listening since the very beginning, the days with Shane and Brian Morey. Also, the originator of Susie is Hotter and Damn Skippy. That does go way back.
Susie is Hotter? What's that?
I don't know.
Susie Culber, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're Damn Skippy.
Probably Stark.
What do you guys think about Warren Sapp saying that Shockey was a snitch? He's wondering if we think it should be grounds for dismissal because it was said on NFL Network.
Potentially. For the commissioner, if you want to protect snitches and create an environment.
I do.
I do, yeah. Plus, I mean, there's also the issue with, like, the good old boy network. The guy's name is QB Killer. We're talking about bounties and killing quarterbacks.
Well, that's part of the whole thing, the righteous
like
indignation
shtick.
About the whole. I mean, that's every team's goal every week is to knock guys out.
Right.
This team was stupid enough to put money on knocking a guy out, so they're worse. Everybody else is doing the same thing.
Right.
Brett in Illinois. Hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, and the silent one. I have two questions.
Why
does Eric say
one?
Almost nothing for majority of the show unless you specifically ask him to comment?
He doesn't like us much.
At you. He bitch slaps you.
It's tough to get a word in edgewise with this crew.
He doesn't
honestly
like us much.
The three of us
are the problem. And I don't like the bad radio of talking over and yelling at people.
Well, that's true. That's bad radio because no one can understand what anyone's saying.
Well, right.
Quarter of a million people can attest to that.
And when does the summer of Andy start again? I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
So are we.
Eric can talk then.
Yeah.
So shows will be terrible, but Eric can talk.
Are we having the summer of Andy again?
I'm going to use my vacation time sometime.
Yeah, but do you have to use them on radio days? I try not to take radio days off.
But you do that
much to the chagrin of the listeners.
Andy's not a team player.
No, I take days off when it's actual a vacation because she's off too. If I just take a week off, she's working and I got to babysit the kids.
Like, I got to take Monday off. But Monday and Tuesday, I made sure that I had someone to get the kids to school on Tuesday because I didn't want to miss a radio show day. I might have to leave right after the radio show that day.
I don't know.
What day? What are you talking about?
Next week.
Should we just get you an ISDN line at your house?
That would be awesome. Can you do that?
We could, yeah.
I mean, I know the listeners probably don't care when I'm not here, but I do because I love this show.
Can we hook
that up? We'll get Donnie on that.
Yeah, sure.
Donnie here.
John feels he needs to clarify. He says, when I said Rex and Tebow had false confidence, I never said they didn't have confidence, but I think there is doubt in the back of their mind. It's just not pure, unwavering confidence. They do have confidence, but in my opinion, there is a difference in open-stated confidence and confidence to reassure yourself and others. Maybe it's just me being my sarcastic, cynical self that one would call arrogant. A-hole self and how I view confidence. Take Wallace, for example, reports saying he wants Fitzgerald money. That's a confident dude right there, in my opinion, different than what Rex and Tebow project. Yes, excessive use of the word opinion, but I have no hard facts, so that's all I can do is give opinion. I think Tebow plus Sanchez would produce a love child that might get to 60% completion percentage, so two thumbs up. Anyway, I'll cover lunch again next Thursday,
Woo!
So let me know.
Wow. Thank you very much.
I agree with him on Ryan. I think there may be some false confidence there. I think Tebow has unlimited confidence.
Yeah,
I don't know how you could suck
that bad
at something.
I think Tebow is the stronger one. I disagree with you guys on Ryan either. Yeah, I think Ryan thinks he's the smartest coach in football. I think that's what he legitimately thinks. But I think that Tebow is the more confident guy of those two.
I don't know how you couldn't be.
I think Tebow is...
When you do something so poorly, so long, and so repetitively, and still believe
I don't know
you,
how he can always take
it to
such an ugly place.
I'm being dead serious.
I know you are.
He can go nine straight, three and outs, and he still believes on the 10th, I'm going to throw the game-winning touchdown.
And, well, what up,
Not many people would do that.
No, but he also has some... experience having done
right.
that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
no question.
Part of where the confidence
but
comes
even
from.
Other people, I just think you'd wear down. You'd start, can I do it this time? I don't think he ever wonders if he can do it. I don't think there's a single day, and maybe that has to do with his religious faith and an unbelievable just faith in everything. But I truly believe that he believes
oh, yeah.
when he steps on the field, he's going 97 yards or whatever to win.
Well, but
I do too.
When you're playing sports, don't you feel that confidence when you're on the field and you know you
not
have
everyone
something
does.
To, you,
and
you
only
have something
when you're
to do
winning.
With the outcome?
When you yeah. are having success, it's easy. But when you're not having success, questions start to pop up. I don't think they ever pop up for Tebow, ever. Maybe for teammates, but not for him.
Here's a quote from Kraft about the bounty yeah. punishment that I think is really, really accurate. He says that he agrees with he supports Goodell's bounty penalties and says Goodell is doing what's in the best for the long-term interest of the NFL. And I
right.
wholeheartedly agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the biggest
– fuels into my lawsuit
biggest
theory.
Factor, yes.
Sure. Tim in Colorado is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Tim.
Timmy. Hey, how's it going?
Great. What's up? Rocky Mountain High?
That's right. I grew up in Concord, New Hampshire. I've been out here 20 years and listened to you guys for the last 3 years. And I wanted to give you some perspective on the whole Manning thing and Tebow and everything.
Okay, what do you got?
First of all, we're psyched that Tebow's out of here, at least from the Patriots. There's a lot of Pats fans out here for sure.
Oh, I know. I was at that party. Boy, there were hundreds.
God, it's like Patriots Nation in Crested Butte, Colorado out here at 9,000 feet. But I think Peyton's going to get eaten up if he doesn't go like 11-5 out here. And it's going to thrash his confidence. And everyone's putting so much stock into their Super Bowl contenders. I'm not so sure with John Fox and I'm just not 100% sold that he's going to come back and just blow everybody out of the water. And I'm waiting for that schedule announcement to possibly come back, and nothing would be better to me to see Peyton Manning as a Bronco and just get smoked in New England. I mean,
well,
it's a dream.
You know, it's interesting, Tim, because no one really has started talking about that yet. It will happen, but everyone's kind of assuming he's going to be, you know, back to at least close to form and be a winning quarterback, but there's no guarantee there.
No, but, you know, we know he'll be better than Tebow. We know he'll be better than Tebow.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he's one hit away from the end of his career, and I know they put that.
Not according to the doctors.
He's not. Really?
I mean, according to the doctors, he's not at any more risk than anybody else from the neck. Now, the question is whether or not he'll be able to throw. That's a legit concern about the nerve regeneration, but in terms of the. I mean, he's not like unlike anybody that tore an ACL. I mean, you're not any more susceptible to a torn ACL than anybody else the second time around.
What do you think of Brady his first year back?
I don't think he was any more susceptible to tearing his ACL than he was the year before.
Okay, fair enough. But I can tell you one thing besides Philadelphia. The fans out here are amongst the roughest in the nation when things start going south really quick.
So you think they'll boo Tebow? I mean, Manning, if he's not himself?
Oh, God. Well, I have a lot of friends out here that are, you know, obviously grew up in Colorado. But, you know, he's so used to having the support of the Colts. And no matter he has a bad game, good game, a couple bad games, everyone's behind him. I just kind of wonder what's going to happen if, say, they go 4-4 at the beginning of the season. I don't see I think people are going to say, oh, I wish we kept Tebow, and it's just going to be a weird vibe out here.
Well, I think there could be a little panic that sets in, you know, because now
only if he can't play.
Right.
If he can't play, I mean, then I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well,
if he can't throw the ball to the level that he was throwing it as a Colt, then I think he's right. I think people are going to say, why did we do all this? Why did we go through all this? This is not the Hall of Famer that we didn't get him. He's not the guy. But
well,
if he's healthy and he's throwing the ball, they're going to win.
Well,
it's as simple as that.
You know, the Patriots are so dialed with Belichick and Brady, and I think it's hard to just take even an elite quarterback and shove him in a system. I know he's going to kind of control everything, but that's a lot of pressure on Manning as well, don't you think?
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think he knows his craft so well. When he's out on the field, he's just playing football. And to him, it comes easy.
But he's faced pressure before.
You
too.
Know he gets rattled.
He's
you're
under,
the one, the Manning
he's under
face.
A tremendous amount of pressure. There's no doubt about that.
We've seen him seemingly fall to the pressure. That's one thing we've seen.
That's what I'm saying. I got one more thing to add. I got a friend out here that he's really on the conspiracy theory that McDaniels came out here to just destroy the Broncos, and now he's back with New England.
Could be.
I just want you to tell me what to tell him. And I'm like, now I'm like, well, you got Peyton Manning. Whatever happened, God, aren't you psyched? And he's like, I'll take Peyton Manning at 70% over Tebow at 110 any day.
Hell yeah.
But I'm just saying, what do you think about, you think there's any, I mean, I think it's just stupid, but, you know, is there any precedence to what happened with McDaniels? Now he's back in New England and...
You mean,
what?
Has that ever happened before? And
we're being serious about
that
this?
A guy left one place just to tear down another and then came back?
No.
Well, that's what my good friend Ben is saying. He's like, okay, well,
good,
you know, McDaniels
idiot.
Came
yeah.
out.
But is he being serious, or is he like making
now
a joke?
He's back in New England. And
no,
that's
a
to the Super Bowl and lose.
Idiotic suggestion.
Is your good friend Tim in Pensacola?
And I got one more thing I just wanted to add.
Okay.
What do you think is going to happen? I know our offense is clicking pretty well. It wasn't perfect in the Super Bowl, and my wife and I are huge fans of Belichick. What's going to happen with the defense? I mean, they're young and they could prosper, but I think we're going so far with the offense. I hope we don't go flat out there. I mean, one of the biggest worries now is Buffalo's going to be, I'm more worried about Buffalo than Denver. Does that make any sense to
no,
you guys?
No, that makes perfect sense because you have to play them twice. And
not to me, it doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks for the call, Tim.
I love when he says definitive. Absolutely.
Buffalo
might go 8-8.
The defense will be fine. Will Allen, Jonathan Finene,
Trevor Cole, Trevor as you like
Cole.
To call him. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to be fine.
Marquise Scott.
Yep.
Steve Gregory.
Building up that.
Mark Anderson,
Gregory
Buffalo,
Steven.
Taking his 10 sacks with him.
Yep.
Andre Carter limping with his
he
10
sacks.
He
won't get
10 back.
Sacks again. Who? Anderson.
I agree.
Total.
I made a face when I said that, people. You need to know.
I don't think he lives out the 4 years in
Buffalo.
Probably
not going to play as much in Buffalo as he played here.
Theoretically, he would do well opposite Mario Williams. But theoretically, it didn't work out when he was in Houston, did it?
No. Dan writes, and before everyone starts freaking out about Benny going to the Bengals, I'd say pump the brakes.
Who's freaking out?
No,
yes,
no one's freaking
yes,
out
Yes, he was
that.
A reliable back who never fumbled, but what was he beyond that?
Nothing.
There seems to be some concern around Ridley that he has some sort of ball control problem. So in his first year, he put the ball on the ground in a playoff game that was won in the first quarter. It's not like he coughed it up in the fourth year crossing the plane in Indianapolis. Has everyone just forgot who Kevin Falk used to be before he became old reliable?
Yeah.
Let's give the kid another year before we start calling him Butterfingers. You can coach ball control. You can't coach explosiveness.
That's a good point, though, about Falk. Because that was what he was known for
in
the first few years of
Tiki
his career. Tiki
Barber is another example of a guy who really was Butterfingers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and learned, you know, he had to hold it a weird
he had
way.
I just want to reiterate that Ridley's problems holding on to the football were not reserved to two games last year.
No.
He had fumble problems at LSU.
Sure.
Google Stephen Ridley LSU fumbles, and I'll guarantee you stories come up.
Okay.
Well, it's just, you know, suddenly now, if you win a game by a lot of points, it's okay that you fumble. But if you, you know, if it's another game that you fumble and lose the game, then it's not okay. I mean, Bill Belichick tells you all the time the things that are important to him, and that's very high on his list.
Sure.
That's why a lot of people were surprised. Now, I am not freaking out that they lost Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Stephen Ridley is a better running back, in my opinion.
I haven't seen anyone freaking out.
I haven't seen anybody either. The upside to me with Ridley is far greater than that of Benny, and I loved Benny. I think he was a great, great guy, solid guy to have as part of your offense. I think Ridley's upside is far better.
Cole in Waterloo says, great show, love listening to you guys. I have a question regarding the Saints penalties. When does Peyton's suspension begin?
I've seen conflicting reports on this.
Supposedly April 1st.
April 1st.
And he's
April
out.
1st.
Right. April 1st.
Because yesterday they were saying he could participate in training camp.
No. Yes, no. That was erroneously reported by
probably on a fake Twitter account.
That, because I printed out the NFL stuff because I was confused too.
Yep. And
it makes no sense that the GM doesn't start till the season.
Right.
When essentially his work is done.
And that was his next question, is when does Loomis's begin?
Week one
of the season, right.
Doesn't make any sense. should both be at the same time.
He says,
or
you
could flip flop them, and I think you could be penalizing them.
Right.
It's,
and he agrees.
Weird.
He thinks it'd be more of a penalty if the GM's busiest time is right now, free agency in the draft, and then signing rookie contracts. The only thing I would see a GM doing during the season is working on contract extensions and bringing in players to replace injuries. Does the Loomis suspension really hurt the Saints?
Yeah, that's a lot, a good
less.
Point.
Yeah,
a lot
see,
less.
I completely disagree. Loomis is irrelevant. He's a GM. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that.
What?
You need to, anybody, they don't have an assistant? They don't have anybody else in the organization that could sign a contract?
But they have assistant coaches, too.
Yeah, well, but losing a coach
that
puts
it's
together.
More than signing contracts.
You don't think
it's
more important that
teams.
They don't have a guy that can put their whole program together?
But it's calling, no, that too, but it's also GM's duty is also calling teams, negotiating contracts.
Yeah, no one else can do that but Mickey Loomis?
Making trades.
Again, no one else can do that but Mickey Loomis?
Usually on most teams, there's one guy.
You're asking someone totally out of their organization to put together their team now.
But they're both.
This is an enormous penalty.
Wait,
for
couldn't
that.
I just say no one else can do that but Sean Payton? I mean, the same argument?
They don't have another head coach. They have other
they don't GMs.
Have another, Sean Payton can coach for a couple of
they only have one GM.
They don't have an assistant general manager. They don't have
they
anybody
have
else.
Coaches,
they have an assistant coaches.
All right. I'm not using the right words. I'm not explaining myself well. You need somebody to – you don't think it's more important to have somebody establish your program and set your course for the season as a head coach?
I do.
As opposed to someone who signs the rookie contracts? You think that's more important?
Well,
I think that he does more than just sign the rookie
contract. Let me say that.
I think
what else does he do?
No,
he
drafts players, signs free agents?
Yeah.
He's drafting the players?
Well, he's involved in that.
Who is?
They don't have a scouting department, a personnel department? Are they the Bengals?
No, but the question, if the question is
so Belichick does nothing?
Belichick does all of that.
Right. No, Paul.
I agree. What is Mickey Loomis doing?
Wait.
He's not drafting players.
He
didn't trade for Mark Ingram last year.
You tell me. What does he do?
I thought
they don't have anybody else that does this.
Well, I can say the same thing about coaches.
Sure, but it's the same argument you can make for coaches.
No. I'm saying, do they have a personnel? What I'm saying, there are other guys that can do what Mickey Loomis does that are involved in that process.
Sure. Just like I could argue, there are other guys that do what.
But I think it's more. All right, you disagree with me. That's fine. That's okay. But I think it's way more important.
We agree with you. We're saying
no. You're not. You don't agree with me. I think it's far more important to lose a coach than a GM.
Well, that's not the question, though.
But you're saying
that is my question.
Nothing.
No.
No. I'm saying that there are other guys that can do what he does. I don't think there's other guys that can do what Peyton does. He's the guy that's responsible for charting your course.
Not this year.
No. Exactly. That's why I think it's more important.
I think there are coaches who could do that.
If he was allowed, I think, to be their coach from April 1st to the start of the season, I think it would be a far less punishment than it is that he's gone this whole time.
Certainly.
Because he could set up everything and then hand the keys to Steve Spagnuolo and Pete Carmichael.
Absolutely.
If you took Mickey Loomis out of the equation between now and the start of the season, I think it's completely irrelevant.
I disagree. That's not the argument.
I think someone else can do the same thing that he wanted them to do.
But I think it's more important to have your GM now during free agency, draft preparation, post-draft, signing periods than it is once your team is already assembled in week one.
That's the only thing.
I just think it's more important about the coach. That's all.
We all agree.
I don't think you guys said
no,
that.
No, the whole thing was when does it hurt the Saints more about Mickey Loomis?
Yeah.
To lose him now or during the season? The answer
it hurts
is now.
More now to lose Mickey Loomis
it has nothing to do
as
with
opposed
Sean
to losing
Payton
him in
is
week
more
one.
Important. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then I misheard. I wasted your 2 minutes. I misheard you. I could swear you guys said it was more important.
No, we needed a little life in the show anyway.
But that's okay. But now I guess we're in agreement.
it ends with right.
Let me just do it.
Right. Sort of. Because I generally assume Mickey Loomis does something.
No,
I'm not in agreement on that.
I don't think he's charting a course by himself. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know about
a course. I don't think he's Bill Belichick.
No, you're a team. It's a decision making
right.
team.
And I think there's other guys that are going to do that. I don't.
I think it's Peyton and him. I think those are the two power structures. And I think the only difference is here it's just Belichick. He is both roles.
So I would rather lose Loomis than Peyton. That's all I'm saying.
Oh. I agree.
This is what I thought the argument was.
But you think anybody can draft and scout and all that?
No, I think there are other people in the organization that are part of that process.
That's where I jump ship.
Because
that's all.
I think Dante
there's nobody
Scarnecchia
else that's in charge of
the
head
game
coaching
planning and the season planning process.
Yeah, I think you'd lose a lot.
I think if you use that argument, you could fire anybody in the world because there's always somebody below them doing something.
Right. I don't think Loomis is important as you do. That's
all. Good without Fred.
I don't think Loomis is as big a part of the piece as you do.
Well,
I think
he should be fired.
I think it's Peyton.
Then he should be.
He should be fired for what he did.
Because if he
no, that's not what he's saying. He should be fired for.
If he doesn't draft and he doesn't sign, then
I mean, I don't want to fire Nick Caserio, but I don't think they would lose anything losing him.
But it's a different structure.
It's
not.
I think it's Peyton. I think Peyton's the guy. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't have any.
Especially, and in this process, I think Peyton traded for Mark Anderson.
Right. I think Peyton traded for Mark Anderson last. I mean, Mark Ingram
then
last year.
There's no doubt Mickey Loomis should be out.
Right. Then he really should be out.
Except the one thing he's doing is being the fall guy for the owner.
Why have the title of general manager if you're not fulfilling those duties?
Well, that's my point is. Why did they
have? We don't know that, though.
Right. But there's a lot of guys that have titles that aren't the final say.
Okay, but that's not what we were talking about. All right. Anyway. Kenan
no,
from
I know.
Denmark.
We agreed on that.
Now we're just coming up with things to argue about.
Well, no.
Not that hard with us.
I just don't think as much of Mickey Loomis as you guys do.
I don't know anything about Mickey Loomis. I just generally assume a guy has a title.
I don't even like his name. What the hell is that, Mickey Loomis? It sounds like something out of Disney. What the hell?
What do you got against Disney?
I would much rather be without Mickey Loomis right now than without Sean Payton right now. That's where I disagree
right.
with you guys.
Yes.
No,
we all agree with that. No one disagrees with that.
No, but you were saying at this time of year.
I think it's ridiculous to suspend a GM.
If I were the Saints, I would rather switch it. Let's put it that way.
We agreed, and now we're arguing.
No. I don't understand.
I'd like to, maybe I'll go back and listen later. I'd like to hear the very beginning of this again.
What we're saying is if you're going to lose a GM,
I think this all started by you saying it should have been the other way around.
No, that's not what we were saying.
No,
it should have been the other way around
for
Loomis.
His suspension should have started immediately.
Both of them should start immediately.
Should not have even have waited to April 1st, by the way, because if you're a GM, you would scramble to do
as
much
between
now and say,
exactly.
When this happens, do it.
For someone with the traditional duties of a GM, this is a busier time than during the season.
Correct.
That's the only thing.
Correct.
Right. And they should both be suspended starting now.
Right.
You don't even think they should be allowed to breathe the air. In the
Eric wants them.
Paul was
away.
Not happy that the fight was about to end, so he had to throw a new bomb out.
You took a cab on that.
We
one,
were
Paul.
Close to a ceasefire, so Paul had to put an end to that.
I just got confused at the beginning. I could have sworn you guys said you think it should have been reversed.
Every one of all the Saints should be shipped to Alcatraz, and they spend the season on that.
I got confused.
Well, the final shoe hasn't dropped.
What do you got?
Here.
You got news?
Matt LaPan.
When news breaks.
Beep, 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 beep.
Big breaking news here.
News flash.
We were talking about how Mr. Kraft wanted Deion Branch back. Well,
he's back.
He's 1 year contract. Per
all right.
Real
there
Adam
you go.
Once again.
Are you sure?
When news breaks, it breaks elsewhere. No. Deion Branch back with the Patriots on a 1 year contract.
So, Fred.
Yes.
Domino theory, the offense is
now
better.
You're in.
Absolutely.
You're in now.
You're better.
You're dead right, except you were dead wrong when you said, I think Deion Branch is out.
5-1.
You're in now.
5-1 Patriots to win the Super Bowl now. Down from 10-1?
I think 1-1.
1-1? They're the only team.
They're the only team that's
going to
win.
So
no,
it's over. It's over. Just hand them. At least hand them the AFC.
Stop.
No
stop.
Chance.
Hand them the.
They
AFC.
Need to. They need to help on defense.
Cynical so Andy thinks it's going to be a.
They're better
year.
On defense than they were last year, and light years better on offense. It's over.
How are they better on defense?
They lost 10 sacks.
It's over.
How are they better on defense?
20, actually. 20 and a half.
Well, but they might get 20 back.
Yeah, but it's not about sacks.
Why
it's about team defense.
Defense sucked last year.
So why are they
but
better?
But it's better now.
How?
Do you have an argument for that?
Because they learned from – they bottomed out last year. Last year, they bottomed out.
And they lost players already.
They bottomed out. Now they know.
They're like an addict. They had to bottom out before they could come back.
Now they're building. You'll see. You'll see.
Anybody have bad feeling? Or is that just me?
Mickey
of the
Loomis.
Patriots?
Yeah.
Of Mickey Loomis?
I just feel like a lot went right this year, and they really kind of defied realism. And
well, here's the thing.
I would have a bad feeling, except I look at the other teams, and
I agree with Fred.
But all their key guys stayed healthy.
But I look at last year, like exactly what you're saying, all the things that went right, Andy, and you know, a lot of those things were bad things that happened to the other teams.
Right.
But look around. The bad things are still happening to the other teams.
Well, some of it's just they're idiots.
Well, that's part of it.
But there are certain things. If you lose already, if Mankins misses the beginning of the year, and now all of a sudden Wilfork's out for 6 weeks with something, I just feel like not a lot went horrifically bad last year. Gronkowski, if there's any hangover.
Well, there were a ton of injuries. They weren't just
they were all jags.
They weren't Tom Brady.
They weren't really anybody of any significance.
Wes Welker, all your key guys.
I mean, Brandon Spikes and Patrick Chung were probably the two most high-profile.
Right. I mean, you had little ones. Yeah. Mankins at the end.
Well,
Hernandez in the middle.
In terms of chipping away the depth on defense, there were a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't mistake injuries with the lack of talent.
Okay, and also getting rid of. I mean,
he just goes right.
I mean, they did have as many injuries as anybody else. I just don't think that they happened to players that were as valuable.
And I might just be negative. People are going to send an email. You're always negative.
I'm not sharing Andy's concern. I still see the problems with the other teams, and that's why I agree with Fred. I think, you know, you look at San Diego. They hold on to Norv Turner, and it's like, cross the team off the list.
Not necessarily. I mean, if Rivers doesn't have a terrible year, they're going to be in the mix.
Yeah, I just think
the team that you should be most fearful of is Houston.
Well, Houston, I think, is good. Pittsburgh, I think, is good. Yeah. Baltimore, I think, is good.
Yeah, those three.
I think you have another cream puff division to deal with that all three teams have been I think Buffalo, I mean, I know it's vogue to say now that they're a threat, but they're not. I mean, they've improved themselves, sure, but they're not. I don't think they're a threat. And the Jets and the Dolphins have gotten worse.
Yeah, but they beat you last year.
Buffalo did beat you last year,
and,
no question.
And by the way, the most overblown...
I'll take 5-1 in the division
the
again.
The most overblown 15-game winning streak or whatever the hell it was, because when you're coming down to onside kicks twice a year, you're not dominating as much as you think you're dominating on paper.
Who are you talking
about?
Oh,
they dominated. Buffalo. They dominated Buffalo pretty good.
See, I disagree. I think some of those games got tight, and you could have easily gone 1-1 a couple different occasions there over the last few years. So if Buffalo's better,
They could have lost both last year. They were losing the second game 21-0.
I'm picking Buffalo for number two in the division right now.
Well, if that ends up being true, then I further agree with you more because I think that just means the division's terrible.
Yeah, could be.
But I'll take 5-1 in the division. Sure. I don't have to go 6-0 every year.
My guess is you go.
You only went 6-0 in the division once, right?
4-2.
2007.
In the undefeated year, wasn't that the only time they went undefeated in the division?
Might be.
No,
there was another time, I believe.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's it.
You might be right. I just remember them. I thought I remember them going undefeated.
I thought they had since then too.
Well, they lost to the Jets every year until last year. Since then, 8, 9, and 10, they lost to Buffalo last year.
Look at that! I'm pretty sure that they've gone since Belichick undefeated in the division before last year.
They didn't do it last year.
I mean,
07
in before 07.
They didn't
before 07.
You might be right.
Don't get him going again, Fred. He's just starting to quiet down. We don't want another fight.
Mickey Loomis.
Donald,
is that a Disney character?
I'm just gonna like wake up in the middle of the night tonight and go, that Mickey Loomis.
Didn't do it in 06.
Donald in Marietta, Georgia says,
good
I think it
you.
Makes perfect sense for Manning
didn't
to go to Denver.
Do
don't Colts grow up to become Broncos?
It's cute.
Didn't do it in 04 when they went 14-2.
All right.
I liked how everybody was getting all worked up.
Once again, Paul with his.
Didn't do Broncos it in 03 when they lost to Buffalo.
Just saying that I would take 5-1. I think that's a good division record.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go 5-1.
You think they're going to go 4-2?
Yeah. And maybe worse. I have a bad feeling. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Wow. The only time they did it was under Belichick was in that 07 season.
Okay. All right.
All of a sudden, you get a bad locker room thanks to Brandon Lloyd.
Wow. Fred.
Just saying, stuff can go wrong.
I'll tell you.
We've seen it go wrong and go right. We're due for a wrong, not a right.
You give me a lot of static, but today's show, I told you that I just assume they're going to win, that sounds arrogant. And I think that they're very much a favorite for the Super Bowl. I want the record to show he's the one that's thinking bad stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And when it goes wrong around here, you go like 10-6 or 11-5. I'm not predicting 3-13.
Oh, okay. Then never mind. Because I think that's, 11-5 to me is a good record. That's fine.
No, I think you're going to be in that hunt and probably miss the playoffs. That's my negative feeling.
Oh, missing the
11-5? We're going to miss the playoffs again at 11-5?
I'm just saying.
Well, that means the Bills are going to have to go like 13-3. And
8-8.
In order for them to make the playoffs and not go.
Wait a minute.
To go 11-5 and not make the
last
playoffs.
Last year you argued to me that the Bills were a Super Bowl contender.
No, I didn't.
This year they've added Mario Williams and Mark Anderson, and you don't think
they'll be a couple of games better.
than a Super Bowl contender.
No,
they're
last
all
year.
Now, because they're all going to be healthy.
I didn't say they were a Super Bowl contender last year.
He doesn't like
I never
it
said
the record
that.
Most associated with him is Super Bowl contender, not 6-10 or whatever.
Well, if you can show
that's
me
a funny
when.
Little game, huh?
You can show me when or how I ever said that Buffalo was a Super Bowl contender last year, then I'll say, okay, you're right, Andy. I
well,
can
you
that.
Show me when I said they'd be 6-10?
Yes, it's
no,
on
you
it's
can't.
On it's you're on an idiot. This
that's
radio
on
show.
Shut up. That's none of you saw that.
The record most closely associated with you.
That's
going to
be it for this edition of PFW Progress. Today's Thursday, right? Everybody have a great weekend. We will see you
that is
next
what
Tuesday.
Saying. Mickey Loomis.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.